Blog Talk Radio.
Get it on. Anytime you're
All over the world I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted. They got nothing on you, baby. Nothing on you, baby. They might say hi and I might say hey, but you shouldn't worry about what they say, 'cause they got nothing.
Regardless of the things in my past that I've done, most of it really was for the hell of the fun. On a carousel, so around I spun, with no direction, just trying to get some. Trying to chase skirts, living in the summer sun. And so I lost more than I had ever won, and honestly, I ended up with none.
So much nonsense is on my conscience. I'm thinking maybe I should get it out, and I don't want to sound redundant, but I was wondering if there was something that you wanna know. But never mind that, we should let it go.
We let it go.
We don't wanna be a TV episode.
TV episode.
And all the bad thoughts, just let it go.
Go,
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 go.
Beautiful girls all over the world, I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted. They got nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Wonder Woman, call me Mr. Fantastic. Stop.
Now think about it.
I've been to London, I've been to Paris, even way out there in Tokyo. Back home down in Georgia, to New Orleans, but you always did the show. And just like that, girl, you got me
throw.
Like a Nintendo 64. If you never knew, well, now you know.
Whether a bus or a plane, or a car or a train, no other girls on my brain, and you the one to blame.
Beautiful girls all over the world, I could be chasing, but my time would be wasted.
Why?
They got nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you,
nothing on you,
nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
They might say hi, and I might say hey.
Hello.
But you shouldn't worry about what they say.
Why?
They got nothing on you.
Nothing on you, babe. Nothing on you.
Nothing on you.
Peace, peace, peace. Welcome to High Frequency Radio Network. This is your host, Brother Sharif, Brother Youssef is off today. I'll be filling in. Call in numbers 424-222-5250. 424-222-5250. Press star 1 if you have a question, comment, or concern. 424-222-5250. We thank the Creator for giving us an opportunity to appear again today in common unity, community. I don't know what the topic is going to be about today, but I'll be touching on a variety of things. I want to have a very intellectual dialogue on leadership, past, present, and future, the condition of our country and the people. Of course, yours truly will answer any all questions and concern regarding and with respects to debt, debt collection, foreclosure, debt responsibility. Another minute or two, we're going to go right into the show. Start off with our prayer. Please prepare yourself. You want to get on the email contact list? I strongly suggest you do so. DebtShow@yahoo.com, EEBTShow, SHOW, @yahoo.com. That is probably one of my most important announcements. We have some outstanding and exciting news that will be shared on tomorrow, the Debt Ministry Debt Show, tomorrow, 11 a.m. here on High Frequency Radio Network. You definitely want to be on that email contact list. Want to give a shout out to my chat, WC show host. He Forgives Five. Appreciate you showing up, supporting the network, buying through the chat. Y'all never been on my chat board, y'all. We have a lot of fun in the chat board. I have some very astute intellectual people communicating, trading ideas. For those of you who want to log in and listen from your computer as opposed to your phone, you can do so. Is the call-in number. Press star 1 if you have a question, comment, or concern. Get in early. I'm sure we will have quite a few questions today. Again, I want to thank everybody for joining us again here at High Frequency Radio Network. Give all honors to the mothers, the fathers, the elders, the matriarchs, because without them, we wouldn't be here today. But first and foremost, all the honor and respect and homage goes to the Creator, because without Him, we would have no elders. So we have to always give the praise, the ultimate praise to the Creator. And with everything we do, we would be unable to do if he was not who he is in our lives. Regardless of your religious preference or belief, the Creator is responsible for everything on and above this earth. So, of course, we have to start off by giving him his due. And then going into our show and our show topics. So wherever you are, take a moment to join in a short prayer. Because as my mother says, the Creator is all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. All-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. And I've learned, as long as you continue to have that belief in life, there is nothing you can't accomplish. There is no obstacle too high. There is no situation too low. There is no relationship, no marriage, no financial, no social, no economic issue that the Creator cannot show you how to handle. So we're going to pray. O Creator and Father, we pray that you elevate, amplify, and increase the vibration, the energy, the frequency, and spirit of all those on this call, including myself, to those that will listen later. It is our intent and our purpose to have this show contribute to the uplifting of humanity, to the uplifting of community, to the uplifting of social standards. To the rejuvenation of the people, relationship, family, parenting, and debt responsibility. We urge that all your people, regardless of race, color, creed, religious belief, put their trust and their faith in you, the Creator, and in the benevolence of the universe. Regardless of what we think, all of our needs are being met. We know that you and the angels are assisting us, guiding us, supporting us, and manifesting our goals, desires, and wishes, whether we see it or not. We ask that you continue to bless us, educate us, uplift us, open our minds, our hearts. Bring your people together in unity, solidarity. Amen. All right. Now that we've ascended upon the universe, our desires, our wishes, we know that the message will come forth from everywhere, not only myself, but from everybody that calls in and shares their experiences, their testimonies, their plights, their questions, their problems. We're going to get into the call. Let me start off with some news and announcements. And then we're going to talk about a few topics. Again, I'm on the Monday show, which is not my show. So I'm able to touch on a couple of the other areas that I am unable to do so on my call. One of those topics will be, once I complete the announcement, is the current condition of community, all communities. You know, all of our communities has leaders, has icons that we reference numerous times in our talks. And most of the time, those leaders and icons existed many, many, many years ago. Why haven't we created more icons, more leaders? Why every time we look for leaders, we're looking 100, 200, 300, sometimes 300,000 years ago? What is the true definition of a leader? Of an icon? Are we blinded by what leadership is and should be? Are the leaders we look for within ourselves? So those are some of the things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about some of the news that's going on. We want to talk to the mothers, to the men, to the gladiators, to the sisters. We're just going to open up. I can't promise you we're going to do the entire 4 hours today. I really think the show should be 2 hours. 4 hours is extensive. So if you want to touch in and comment, chime in on this topic, call in. Of course, that's not the topic of discussion, just one of the topics we will touch on. And I chose that topic because I've, in the last few days, been experiencing some confusion, especially in this community, with respects to leaders. Why do we always look for role models when the role models are inside of us? As you know, my show, The Debt Ministry, The Debt Show, that's on Tuesdays, my primary goal is self-empowerment, teaching you how to educate yourself so you have no dependency or very little dependency or selective dependency on other people. As my mother would call it, I'm the seed planter. Not in the slavery sense. Don't get funny out there. I'm not planting any cotton. No, I'm planting some warriors, some gladiators, some queens, some goddesses, some gods. That's what I'm trying to plant. Those are the seeds that I'm trying to plant. The next generation. Of a self-serving community, able to sustain our own selves, able to have one of every seed in your own community. That's what we're lacking. What is a role model? What is a leader? Why do we have to look hundreds of years ago in the past for leadership? Why does every time I turn on the TV we're constantly relying upon historical times that may or may not thrust us into the future or even equipped us today. Sort of like walking outside right now with a bag phone from the 70s. They don't have bag phones anymore. They're outdated. I had one of those big old shoe boot phones, the big ones that was probably about 10 pounds. Looked like a boot. You walk out here with one of those phones now, they'll probably lock you up. But in our community and in the community at large, I see a lot of people using a lot of outdated processes, information that has the same age and content of those bag phones. We're using information that's outdated, ideologies that are outdated. We're in the iPhone. We're in the tech-savvy world today. We're in a very fluid and dynamic society. So when we look for power and recharging, we look for a power pellet, we can't reach back 200 years to find that source. We should be able to find that source in our generation. Why can't we find that? Some of our leaders have failed us, both past and current. Some of the people we relied upon has failed us, both past and current. Because instead of absorbing the information, as you should do on my show, learning it for yourself, interpreting it for yourself, or interpreting it in the right manner, we just keep coming back to the leaders and the gurus to tell them to feed us more, and we become dependent to where we don't want to do anything. We don't want to study ourselves. We go to school and we wait till the teacher tell us to open up the book at that certain chapter, and that's the first time we read that chapter as opposed to reading the book before going to class, so we can ask the teacher to do some translation in some areas you were unfamiliar with or needed better understanding. Or we go to church and the first time we read that Bible passage is when the pastor has a sermon on it, and then we don't even read it after the sermon. We just take their word that that's what it's saying. Why do you think we got so many religions on one book? Because everybody interprets things differently. Why do you think we're losing our homes? Why do you think we're losing in the commercial world? Because we're not reading. We don't understand the language. We don't have a translation. We don't know what it means. We take the word of our adversary to determine what things mean. And that's a very dangerous trap. That's all communities, all race, all colors, all creeds, all responsible for doing that. So the minute some guru jumps up or some stallion and reads a little bit further than you in the contract or reads your religious information or book you rely upon a little bit further, which many of us don't do, and they come up with something that sounds either intelligent or sounds good, y'all run to them. Pay them, you enrich them, and they're just teaching you on how they see things, not necessarily how things are. Why do we do that? Are the leaders really teaching you self-empowerment? Are the leaders moving with technology and information? Are they updating you? Are they adding on to the information? Or are they singing the same song they did 100, 200, 10, 5 years ago? Everyone knows law changes. Statutes change. They add on, they take off, they add new ones. Cases come out daily, weekly. You're in a very fluid and dynamic society. So if a leader is still telling you the same thing he told you 5 years ago, something's wrong. You can't even wear the same jeans you bought 5 years ago until people will be looking at you and be like, those are Jordache jeans, bro. What are you doing? They come out with an iPhone 5 today, March. And before they sell all of those, they're coming out with an iPhone 6. So if technology changes that rapidly, doesn't information as well? You go to a lot of these gurus and these leaders' seminars and events and meetings, and they're giving you the same old junk that didn't work the first 8 times. And because we spent our money so frivolously and so many times with them, we stick with them in hopes that they give us something that actually works. Or we stick with certain religious leaders because we're already there. So they focus on teaching you forgiveness, turning the other cheek. They do a lot of sermons on that, or a lot of speakings on that. Because what they're doing is appealing to their own conscience. Because once they fall from glory, they want you to remember the 20 speeches they had on forgiving and giving. It's programming. It's training of the mind. There are certain settings that are designed to water us down, to dumb us down, to slow us down. What is turning the other cheek? What does that mean? There's a lot of communities that teach you submissibility. I believe Jesus turned over a few tables, demonstrated some anger. From what I read, it was a couple of threats in there. A couple, I'm going to give you the business if you don't stop doing X, Y, and Z. I don't think he was a pushover. I know the Creator is no pushover. So are some of these societies, national media, leaders watering you down? You can go to battle, be spiritually sound and strong, and give somebody the business without getting angry. Can you do battle? Do you have the spiritual fortitude to do battle? Or are you watered down to say, well, never mind. I'm going to let them have the house. I'm going to let them garnish me. I'm of this religious society, and, you know, we believe and agree with thy adversary quickly. We always take things out of context. That's why there's not enough warriors out there, gladiators, leaders, because for some reason they always drink too much water to the point they're ineffective. I remember times they had bark and bite. Now they have neither. No bark, No Bite, not Silent Assassins, not Strategic Offensive People, just Submissive. This debt demon, our society, our national media, is slowly killing us mentally and emotionally. They're subjecting you to all kind of lifestyles. They're feeding you a bunch of garbage. They're creating economies. They're destroying economies on one show. Do you understand how powerful? If you guys remember, Oprah had said on her show, and I believe the farmers or someone wanted to sue her because Oprah said, did a show on some sick cows. I don't know if it was some farm or some company that was had some sick cows and they couldn't even stand up. And we were eating that meat. And I remember reading the article that whatever farm it was told Oprah to please go back on TV and apologize or recant her remarks because it was killing them economically. People stopped buying beef. So when you think about the national media and the power that they have the power to create and destroy based on your perception and belief in that programming. So if they have, Oprah has the power to do that because she has millions of listeners, well, what about MSNBC, CNN? Fox News. If they tell you stop buying a certain product, you're going to stop. Does a national media outlet that may consist of people that are more oppressive than not, have? Should they have the power to tell you and program you on what you should do, how you should do it, when you should do it, and why you should do it, and have millions of us going out there and acting upon that information when most of it is erroneous? No. So, trying to talk about those topics, trying to uplift the community at large in a way that pricks our conscience and get us thinking differently. So call in if you have any questions, comments, concern on that topic or any other topic. I'm not going to have a lengthy discussion on what our community needs and how we've been doing it for the last 50, 100 years. I'm a solution-based type of man. I don't like to deal with problems and talking about, we've been talking about problems for years. What the community is doing, what they're not doing. I don't have time for that. But I do see things on an everyday basis that causes me to have great concern about how our minds are being twisted with national media, religion, religious beliefs, puritanical beliefs. I see how it divides us, makes us argue. I had, and y'all know Brother Sharif don't mind speaking his mind. I try to be as respectful as I can and open-minded to different things. But since it's my show, I can share with you my beliefs. If you get offended, that's not my intent. I got a comment in the chat from He Who Forgives Five. They said, Brother Sharif, just because a person is humble and believe in turning the other cheek doesn't mean they're weak. You're not listening to me. I didn't say that there's a weakness. I think you have to turn the other cheek. If you have kids, you do that often. If you have relationships, you do that often. If you have husbands and wives, you do that often. If you have family, you do that often. But are you going to turn the cheek to a debt collector that wants to take your house? Or a debt collector that wants to garnish your wages and put your family in an economic whirlpool? When do you turn the cheek and when do you toughen your cheek? I don't hear anything out there either in the religious sectors, national media. Everything I hear out there infers that you should sit down and shut up or go to your religious society and learn how to not buck. Don't speak up. Don't talk back. Let them frisk you. Let them feel you down. Go to the airports. Take off all your clothes. Let them x-ray you to where they can see the calcium deposits on your bones. Let them grope your wife and your husband. Let them send your kids to school. Tell them what shots they need to take. They deposit into your kids' brain the education and historical esoterical information they want, and you better not say anything about it. You go to the bank, the $10 an hour teller tells you what you need to do with your money, how much of it you can get. Church, and they just tell you pass the bucket around and tell you to give when they want you to give, believe what they tell you. So I don't. Call in. Let's talk about this turning the cheek. Let's talk about what sources are out there that tells you to strengthen up. The only demonstration of strength I see in the country is one of the historical behaviors that we adopted or continue to adopt, and that's marching.
Let's get together and take some pilot markers and write on some sheets and get some cardboard and get some signs and let's go march.
What are we accomplishing by doing that? I'm not saying we're not accomplishing anything. I'm saying what are we doing? What's effective? I know my show is making economic contributions in the millions of dollars. I know the Creator is going to bless me and my ministry and my group and this network, myself, Brother Youssef, Brother Savage. We're depositing millions in information, and people are having success in one way or another. But I know in my ministry, the debt ministry, people are having success. I can't even count it. So the economic empowerment that we all complain about is happening here on this network. Spiritual contribution deposits are happening on this network. Civics, information on law, information on the education arena, metaphysics, holistic information, mind, body, spirit information. What deposits are we not making on this show? So, I'm not saying that turning the other cheek is weak. When and where do you apply that principle? And when do you stop told what to do when what they're telling you to do is wrong? When do you stop believing in the propaganda that they feed you every single day? How many elections must we have before we realize that these jokers talk the same nonsense every time? It's just a different face, a different voice with some different words, and the results are absolutely the same. Every time you turn around, they're taking away one of your rights.
taking away one of your liberties, taking away almost all of your privileges unless you can walk an absolute straight line 24 hours a day. I read a story, there was a congressman in California that was a anti-gun guy, want to strip people of all their guns like the rest of the country wants to do. And he ran on that premise. People in California voted him in. He's introducing bills on taking your guns and making you a defenseless society. And he was just arrested last week in an undercover sting by the FBI. He was doing arms dealing. Imagine that. So while he's voting and implementing laws to take your guns, he was selling them in the underground by the bulk and got caught. Imagine that. Should we turn the other cheek on him? Let's talk about this. Whenever we have humans over other humans, there is going to be abuse. If you're not spiritually grounded, if you don't understand who the people and who the government is, you're going to be confused because they're going to tell you something to do that is not in your best interest, and you're going to do it because you're in some religious group that teaches you to calm down and sit down and listen to everybody, including them. Or we're going to go to the movies and see some form of black pornoism in these slave movies that come out that depict black women getting beat like you wouldn't believe, black men being beat like you wouldn't believe. And some of us actually go and watch these. They're coming out every 3-4 months. Community in this country accepts that. But long as we put Oprah in it, somebody else in it, we'll spend the $20 and go watch it and be like, yeah, that was a great movie. Programming. I don't want to go see a movie with brown or white people getting beat or being enslaved. How interesting is that to me? How does that empower me economically? What kind of deposit is that spiritually? Why do I want to turn on the news and see for the last 4 months about a plane that disappeared, and they can track every person on their phone these days, but you can't find a 10-ton jet with 230-something people on it? They can turn off their signal and disappear in a commercial jet. We can't even turn off our phones and not still be tracked, for those of you that don't know. Like, the nonsense just is endless. The propaganda is just really ridiculous when you really pay attention to it. When are we going to empower ourselves and depend on ourselves? When are we going to really get the information needed from the leaders and be able to take it home and actually do something with it without calling them for every other ingredient or for instructions? When are we going to be able to actually do something with the information that we hear from our leaders? Or do we have to march for another 500 years? When are we going to create another Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, Malcolm X, Harriet Tubman, Abraham Lincoln? I don't care what your opinion is about them. I'm talking about all people. When are we going to have some leaders of today stand up and make deposits into their respective communities? When is it going to happen? Y'all think about that for a minute. I'm going to come back, go to the caller line, see if we can have an intellectual, above-ground discussion about this and talk about any other topics you like to. Hold tight. Peace, peace, peace. It's your host, Brother Sharif. We're back. Before I go to the phone lines, I want the community, the people out there, to explain to me, what is this surge in information? There's actually meetings, seminars, events being held by a host of people, gurus, leaders, elders, on extraterrestrial information. I'm not knocking it. I don't understand it, but I want to talk about that as well, somewhat. What's this about? I was talking to a friend about it, and he said, yeah, some government guy came out in Canada and said that, yeah, man, we're occupied by aliens and extraterrestrial third world or whatever. And I said, oh, okay. I mean, I can't admit or deny that. I just want to know the significance behind it. And the first thing I want to know is, can one of those aliens give me the lotto number or give me some number sequence that can enrich me so I can enrich my people? Can I talk to one of them? Or, you know, a lot of these leaders, they saying they have direct contact with these aliens, but they're still in bad condition themselves. They have this metaphysical or personal relationship with these aliens, but the aliens, are not delivering information enough to elevate them out of their own current conditions or elevate the people. So I'm just curious. I'm not knocking it. I'm just curious. They say a lot of the people in our community and other communities, you know, fill up these events to talk about the unknown. Are we so attracted to secrets and secret societies and things that sound so far off bases that it's our fault we're imbalanced and not on task and not focused? You know, our society does a good job at keeping us off point. You know, we have sports, you know, certain time of year, you know, you have millions of people tuning in to different sporting events, and during that week of the events or even that month, your government is passing laws and changing the dynamics of society, of commerce. So many things. Like this month, you see on the news, all you hear is talk about this lost plane, and we got ships. We got countries that's disappeared they haven't found, but we're talking about this lost plane, and meanwhile, we have wars brewing. We have laws changing. We have politicians doing dirty things. We have things that are failing around us. We have currency changes going on. A lot of things going on. And when you see the media is just for 4 weeks focusing on some plane that they've been trying to get to some debris that's been in the water now a month, okay? Now, they got satellites up in the air that can beam down and tell you how many pimples is on your face, and we can't find debris from a plane that supposedly went into the water. We don't have any evidence of that. If y'all don't see this nonsense, like I don't even know if you're watching, but in New York we have a game called Three Card Molly. And I'll share with you one of my experiences as a kid. I lived in Manhattan, grew up in Harlem, uptown. And one day, when I was 13, my mother sent me to pay the electric bill. And it was right there on 125, on 25th, down the street from the Apollo. Those of you in New York, you should know what I'm talking about. And out on the street, you always had those con artists that there were three-card Molly guys. And all they had was a crate, or maybe two, piece of cardboard, cards out of a deck of cards, playing cards. And what they would do is they would take those cards. It was two black cards and a red card. And they would just shuffle those cards around with both hands. Only three cards. Now, all you had to do was follow the red card. And if you put $20 down and you pick the red card, you got $40 back. It looked real easy. It really looked real easy. But those guys were good. And they would always have a little undercover person that worked with them that would be standing there at the table winning, okay? They would be winning. And you'd be like, ooh. So here I am going. I'm about three stores away from the electric department to pay the electric bill now with a single mother, bunch of us in the house. I got $120 to pay the electric bill. So I walk by and I'm standing there. You know, always was a lot of people around. And when the police came, they would run because it was illegal. So they would always be looking out, looking back and forth, but they'd be shoveling those cards, man, and you'd be like, oh, I found the red card. So you stand by for a few, and you watch a few people, and you'd be like, oh, that's it right there. Yeah, it's right there. And you'd be like, oh, yeah, I was right. I would have won a bunch of money. So back then in those days, $120 was a lot of money. So I'm thinking if I win $120 when I was 12, 13 years old, I'd be rich. So I'm sitting there. I got the money balled up in my hand, and he's doing it. I watched 3-4 times. About out of those 3-4 times, I might have won in my mind watching 3 times. So I decide I'm going to try it. I said, come on, man, let's do it. I'm going to get this $120. And the man did. He said, you want to go? I said, yeah. So I put the money in his hand. My hand was sweating. He did his little 3-card Molly. I picked the card. I lost. I about died. How am I going to go home explain to my mama? I lost $120, the electric money, on the 3-card Molly. So, you know, I concocted a story that I don't know if I said I lost it or somebody took it from me. But my mother didn't buy it. She looked in my face. She said, you're lying. She tore my tail up. But I eventually told her the truth. And she told me in no uncertain terms that that was stupid. That was dumb. And by the time she got on the phone, you know, you call one relative, the whole family knew it was calling me stupid. Sharif, you so stupid. You did that? That was just, you would jeopardize the electric. Or some freak. Don't you know they con out of date? Y'all know what I'm saying? How do we fall for the nonsense today with the national media and with some of the leaders and gurus out there? How do we fall for the nonsense sometimes? How do we go to them for years and years and never get any success? Or how do we invest so much money in ridiculous information that will do us no good, that feeds into the propaganda they put out? When are we going to grow up? All right, let's go to caller line, see what's going on. See if anybody has any comments or want to chime in on this conversation or any other topic. Let's go to 804-9507, 804-9507. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Hello?
804. Yes, ma'am. Welcome to High Frequency Radio. I can hear you clearly.
Okay. Peace, love, and wholeness. I want to comment on the matter that you indicated that our so-called leaders, I feel that our so-called leaders have betrayed us. And we need to stop looking outside of ourselves. I am dwells on the inside of us. And
that's
I am
right.
The leader of my household, my tribe.
Yes. I've
given my children the proper tools to empower themselves for self-determination, and we must teach and set the tone, you know, for their own deliverance. And so I don't look outside of my home. I am there. I am responsible for them. So I have 3 children who are currently attending college and university, from undergraduate to their master's. And I even had to sit them down and apologize to them, to let them know, even though those higher institutions, they don't have all the answer. And I apologize to them because now they are accumulating all this debt. So I'm really thankful for the Blog Talk Radio, because I'm learning so much about how we can offset and do administrative remedies, you know, to correct that problem. So that's all I wanted to say today.
Well, that's good. You bring up, before you go, you bring up some very interesting points, and this is where education really starts. Now, I don't know whether
the men bring the education to the household or the women bring the education to the household, because things are so fluid now these days, and sometimes you might have men that are stay-at-home. I shouldn't say stay-at-home mothers, but stay-at-home fathers. And they're responsible for bringing the education to the home. But historically, the women were the educators, the nurturers. They took care of home. And I believe those days, not taking anything from the women, because some women just feel they have to go out there. Some do it because they have to. Some do it because they want to compete. Some do it because the men has let them down economically. And I understand all of those reasons. I really do. But I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that I'm teaching them. And what I had a friend call me and say, Brother Street, well, you know, I'm sending my kid to college and he wants to go for, you know. I said, well, why does he want to go to college? Well, he says he wants to take business administration. I said, brother, I said, you know, listen, to go to school for 4 years for what you call business administration or economics, before you make that decision and spend all of that money, I just asked you to look at the current condition of our country now. And it is the people that destroyed our economy, steals from the people, oppresses the people, those are the people that's going to be educating your child. So if they can't fix the economy now, well, who's teaching your kid how to do any better? Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm not understanding this, and it might be, and Mother, maybe you can help me.
Well, one thing,
if I'm a professor and I'm teaching your child how to become a wealthy or rich, and there is a difference, individual in the business commercial sector, and I have that knowledge, then why would I be only making $40,000 or $50,000 a year when I have enough information for me to be wealthy or rich myself? I never understood, and I'm probably a very intellectual thinker, but to me, Donald Trump or Michael Jordan or someone like that that has wealth, or Gates or any of those other rich people, they would have to be teaching college for me to go pay my money because they're rich. Therefore, they would be teaching in the universities not for the money, but for something else. But I don't know what a professor that's making $50,000 a year, if he can teach me how to make a million, why is he not making a million? Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yes, and that's why I teach my children on forensic research, even check me, what I'm telling them and teaching them, because it's their responsibility how govern themselves. And it's a serious issue that we're dealing with, because we don't have the confidence within ourselves, and we feel that we have to look to someone else to constantly give us the answer. And as you indicated earlier in the call about our so-called leaders, and that's why I stated they have betrayed us, you know. And so I think that it's every parent's responsibility to sit their children down and tell them exactly what the real deal is and what's going on and how they're being controlled and manipulated and how they've done all these things to us through our food and our lack of knowledge, you know.
Yes, indeed. You know, Mother, I had an interesting conversation with a friend who had had the opportunity to travel in foreign countries, Kuwait, some of those other Islamic countries. And they opened my eyes to something that I didn't even know. And this is what I say, I've been a victim of the mainstream media, especially with respects to what she told me. She said, Brother Sharif, I've been to Kuwait, Iraq, and other countries like that. And do you notice that the people don't, they're not, you don't see them on the train going to work? And I said, well, you know, that is kind of, that's right. She said, they don't work in those wealthy, those all rich, wealthy, or minimum rich countries. The country pays them according to how many in the family. If you're married, you get a certain amount. They live off the wealth of their country. And the people that decide to want to open up businesses and things of that nature, then, you know, they go to work. But she said, if you notice those people, they're just walking around. They're just shopping. They're just doing what they do. And I said, what? And I started doing just a little bit of research on it, and it was absolutely true. I mean, these countries live off the wealth of their country. They don't make their citizens go out and kill themselves. Now, they're not living rich, but they're able to take care of themselves. And if you want to open up a business, or many foreigners come into these countries, like you'll see, you know, McDonald's in other countries, and, you know, of course the businesses is going to come. But the citizens are not killing themselves. I also had an article, a documentary I watched on France, and there was an area of France, or France as a whole, that they take off 6 weeks in the summer, and all the businesses pretty much shut down, and the people are on vacation, okay? And I said, what? And there was a lady that was an American. She opened up either clothing store or bookstore, and she was, she said, I'm not, and they don't allow, I believe in France, they don't allow you to, like, it's not the 7 days a week. You got to be open this amount of days. Like, so there's times where certain businesses, and I think if you're in the food business and stuff like that, when people, you know, that really the businesses close. They don't work their people to death. They believe in family. They believe in time. And they really honor their people. Have you ever heard of such thing?
No, but I'm sure that's the way to go. You need to reclaim your rights. You know, you have to empower yourself. So that's awesome.
It is. And I thought that was interesting. And, you know, and it makes sense. Our country is the only country that just makes you, you know, we're economic slaves. We work 3 and 4 jobs, 7 days a week, okay, 24 hours a day. You know, 365 days a year. We don't live off any wealth. They sell our – everything in this country is sold in parcel. I don't care if it's a piece of dirt. We're selling it, okay? We don't live off any wealth. We work for everything, and then they take your 39% from the Internal Revenue Service, and you still don't understand why, okay? And it's just – it's ridiculous. So some of these other foreign countries, they actually – you know, they give the wealth back to the people, because if you understand anything, you will understand that the country belongs to the people, not the government, not corporations. The people were here long before corporations and government. You don't own that dirt, those trees. You know, you should get some compensation for cutting that tree down, putting it in a form that we can write on it, or use it to sit down on. I understand that. But then if the country belongs to the people, what kind of deal am I getting if that belongs to me? I don't think we're getting anything. You know,
that's why
I think
it's so important for us to reclaim our birthright, brother. And we have to master our own account and, you know, take control of the straw man. So until you get to that level, you know, some people will stand by the wayside and let someone else continue to govern them and manipulate them. So
indeed.
It's an excellent call today, and I really appreciate you for allowing me to speak today. This is like my third week listening in on the Blog Talk, you know, High Frequency, and I really enjoy you and Brother Youssef. Thank you so much.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you, Sean. All right, peace and blessings. All right, let's go to 302-7775, 302-7775. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question?
Yes, peace. Hotep, assalamu alaikum, and all that. I am so glad to hear your voice. Brother Sharif, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear, sister. Thank you.
Yes, today is my day off. I know I haven't been listening on you, but you've been so powerful, and you've been you and Youssef L and Brother L Savage have. I've been listening to you for over the past 2 years with Youssef L and Brother L Savage. I want to thank L Savage and each and every one of y'all for allowing me to listen in to get the knowledge. Yeah. And once I took the pill, I just can't put it back down.
Blessings, blessings, honor.
I'm just wide awake. And I thank y'all so much. I'm an elder.
Yes.
And I just wanted to salute each and every one of y'all and keep up the great work. You know, I had to go back on the plantation. Bills got a little, you know, tight.
Yeah.
So, I had to go. But I missed y'all so much. But my question is, when Brother Sharif, you're doing a phenomenal, great job on community, and you stated that the solutions that we have in our community, and you gave us a fine example regarding Oprah Winfrey about the hoof and mouth disease when they had the cow.
Yes.
Now, in the communities on a solution base, I'm a community coordinator. I brought in quite a few big people to speak within the nation, and also Brother Kaba had come to help us in the city of Wilmington in Delaware. I'm originally from New York. But my question is, what solutions, because I do get a form, and I know you're pretty aware of other brothers and sisters giving events. After these events, Brother Sharif, where do we go from there? Do we just talk? And then afterwards, I'm trying to, like, pretty much make it like an ongoing thing, a workshop afterwards. Let's just keep this going. I love the way you are so for real, but give me some kind of, because my event is coming up, I'm just going to ask you permission if I can advertise it. I just don't want to come on and just give a shout-out. But, okay, what would you give us to symbolize education and get away from that national media, which is really choking our youth? How would you go about it if you were there and you were on the panel?
Let me ask you your name first, your first name only.
I'm sorry, I'm Sister Lorraine Muhammad.
Sister Lorraine Muhammad. Well, I think the Creator brought you forth for a couple of reasons, because that's the excellent question, and I think you're the perfect elder for me to segue into this dialogue. You're an elder, you said.
Mm.
You brought a lot of events,
yes, sir.
And you've made a lot of deposits of education into this community. And
yes, I'm a
And you're still doing it, and we're looking back, and I brought up this conversation because we're hitting the country with our debt ministry and message because we know what we're doing. We're successful at what we're doing. The education is there.
Okay.
People are being delivered immediately, okay? People are coming on Tuesday and demonstration information on Wednesday and coming back on Tuesday and saying, look, that works. That works. Give me more of that. I need to learn more of that. So I was setting up an event in New York, and I'm not going to give any names. And this weekend, the weekend that I was looking at doing the boot camp that I'm going to be offering was booked up because there were some other events going on. And then I had some calls from some of the people in our community that says, well, Brother Shu, you shouldn't do it on this weekend because this weekend they're having this person and that person and that person, you know, some of them were, you know, doing some, you know, meetings and stuff about, you know, UFOs and, you know, extraterrestrial. And then some of them was, you know, doing some information on, you know, some processes that has long not worked for us. So I looked at, and then I had some troubling information on some of the gurus and leaders that are out there that are really doing horribly in their own lives, okay, in their own personal situation, mainly economic. And you mentioned that you had to go back to the plantation, and I'm saying to myself, is it our community that's not supporting our leaders,
are leaders not bringing enough
wow.
or not really
wow.
delivering the economic relief that we're doing here? Are you not bringing
mm-hmm.
enough? Are you not resetting or re-implementing or regurgitating or adding on to your delivery? Or are we, because I hear people say all the time, you know, we got to, and I give respect to the elders. And, and when I say the elders, I'm talking about the matriarchs, the mothers, the fathers, the elders, that I don't care if they
yes,
did anything
yes.
for the community or not.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is
yes.
the ones that go out there and we plaster them and we have posters of them, and the only thing that they're talking about is what happened 200 years ago and 500 years ago. And they don't have any
yes.
current information that's going to – because we have iPhones now, so we can't look at black and
yes.
white pictures forever and be like, oh, we need to go back there. And it's not having any effect. So what I look at these elders, and I've been contacted by a few of them to help in
mm-hmm.
certain economic positions that they're in. They're losing their homes. They're dealing with debt.
Yes.
They're being sued. And I say to them, and I say, okay, and I'm going to be honest, I'm not calling any names. Many of them just don't have the economic energy to even help themselves, but you're on a stage somewhere, and somebody's
mm-hmm.
paying for you to hear about something that happened 2 billion years ago. So I ask you, sister, in all respect, in all levels of respect, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it. Why do
mm-hmm.
you have to be back on the plantation when at some point you had deposited things into the community that should have given you some
okay.
residual
yes.
energy in the
yes.
future?
Right. What I did my research. I'm not originally from here. I'm located now in Wilmington, Delaware, which is all new to me. I've been here over 13 years. It's a Bible belt, pretty much all with churches. And when you said that the preachers are the ones in your last, when you was just coming on, who are keeping keeping us dummy down, I have a job here. I don't know why God put me here for some reason, but I came to Delaware, you know, and just trying to wake the people up. I have a job here. The people, if the brothers and sisters can help me from coming from any other places, but the people here, and I don't mean no harm if anybody's here from Wilmington, Delaware, the people here are very, very domicile. They did a lot of damage to DuPont's here to the people here
yeah.
to get
yeah.
them up. Well, I had got a video. A brother sent it to me on YouTube. Said, sister, you think you're somewhere. You got a job. And he sent me, I found out that after the riots, they literally kept the state troop, the National Guards here for a whole year, making sure that they would, because billions of dollars run through Delaware, billions of dollars.
Oh, yeah, DuPont is
big.
Had
come to Delaware,
DuPont owns
yes.
Delaware.
Yes.
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 I lived
I
in Delaware. I lived in Newcastle, Delaware for about 3 or 4
okay.
years, so I know where you are.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
right there on the 46th.
You know
yeah, I know about Delaware.
Oh,
Philadelphia.
Okay.
Sharon
yes,
Hill up
yes,
the MPA.
Yes,
yeah, I spent time there.
Yes, okay. Okay. So the event is going to be this April. It's going to be this Saturday at the Doubletree Hotel. It's an education conference. We have an editor, Richard Muhammad from the Final Call newspaper. I'm on Facebook, Lorraine Muhammad. You can see all the information. We're going to have the young artist, Richard Rohr, will be performing. He's a local artist. We want to support our local conscious artists. The youth is going to be there. It's pretty much I gave it over to the youth, Brother Sharif. I'm letting
yeah.
them run it and give me some good ideas, and they're doing a great job. You know,
that's
like
good.
You said, get
and what
from
is the topic
typewriter
of the
to the internet.
Yeah, what is the topic
it's
of the event?
The topic of the event is education is the key. Education is the key. You have the youth, the young brothers, Mir Bay and Sabir, really took me under their wings and really got a sister conscious, and they're on the panel. Brother Mir Bay is on the panel, and he'll be discussing how he's going to do workshops and helping our youth, and they're doing a phenomenal job.
Are you
job.
Talking about Sabir
and,
Bay from LA Live, from Civil
yes,
Alert?
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I know all of those brothers. I'm not, yeah.
Oh, do you know? Oh, okay, but Mia Bay will be, because he's here in Delaware helping me, and also Brother Hameen with the Internet Cafe. He's a more he's and an educator. Kevin Muhammad will be on with about vaccines, and we're just going to have a great time. And it's Education is the Key. It's April the 5th. It's here in Wilmington, Delaware at the Doubletree, 700 North King Street. The time is from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., and it's free. You know, it's free. It's a free event. There'll be videos. There'll be vendors, and everyone could come on down and share some great thoughts. I just want to thank you, Brother Sharif. When I first started listening to you, I thought you were just a little too harsh.
Everybody says that. You know, I'm not the term to cheat. Yeah,
but that's okay. You took a good time, but I said, man, I'm not going to return on that one. But what? But I love you. You know, it was, like a son trying to tell his mom something, and I was just a, you know, and you would say, well, you got to put that. I was like, wait a minute, I've been holding on to this. Hold on. So this is the birth of what you gave me, and I want to share,
yes.
And I thank Allah that I'm off today. You have given me so much light, and it was a struggle because I was still in my ways. But thank you. I just want to thank you and thank all the listeners for giving me a time to share this story. It's going to be on agriculture, education, Cloyd Anderson information, Brother Umar Johnson on education, books.
Oh, Brother Umar,
right
now, Brother Umar. Yeah, Brother Umar, that's a good brother. That's a great brother.
Yes, we're going to have all of that, and it's free. And the youth, I put it in the young brothers' hands. They're on the panel because I have to say that I really appreciate you, Brother Sharif, because sometimes it takes a bitter pill. I didn't want to swallow the pill when you gave it to me. I was like, oh no. Oh, it's horrible. But I just want to let you know that the pill did work.
It was a delayed release pill.
You gave me that, yeah. So I'm hoping everybody could come on out and support us. And I love you, Brother Yusuf L. And Brother Savage, all of y'all, Sharif, all of y'all, just help a sister out. Come on down and support us. It's free, all information. We're looking forward to even having you come on down. And we want to do something live where we can have the Blog Talk High Frequency right there, because the young people told me you could have it right there on stream or something, they were saying.
Oh, yeah, that's the technology, indeed.
Can you share
indeed.
Your information at the end of the story, your email, or text me your information
indeed.
So we can look
I'm
forward
gonna call
to
you.
You.
I have your number.
Would you
I'm
like
gonna
to come
you.
To Delaware? Would
yeah,
you
I'm
like
gonna
to
call
come
you after the show.
Come
I have
down
your
here
number.
And help a sister?
Yes,
alrighty, thank
indeed.
Y'all so much.
Thank
you,
Sister Muhammad.
Thank you.
Sister Lorraine Muhammad, thank y'all for sharing, and, you know, go to the event. If you're in the Philly, Delaware area, you know, April 5th is free. You know, Brother Umar, great speaker, psychologist, you know, Sabir Bey, knowledgeable brother. It's free, okay? So go be supportive, get some information, and we thank the elder for coming on today. Thank you, Sister Lorraine. I got your number. I'll be calling you some point today or tomorrow, okay?
All right, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. All right, great caller. We thank the elders for calling in. Let me just say this because she said something that I hear often, you know, and that is I'm a little bit different in my delivery. I think the Creator programmed me to be who I am, and I don't think everybody listens to me, and I know some people I don't get across to. I hope to reach everybody, but this is why I bring up the topic of are we watered down, or are we taught that everything has to come out politically correct? Are we turn the cheek? You know, we have to understand that there is passion within all of us, and sometimes things come across passionate, or I hear things that I know is going to lead you down the wrong road, and I will cut you off, and I will try to shock you into changing your direction, your thought process, because I know that it's wrong. I can't explain to you inside of a couple of minutes or even a couple of hours why it is wrong, but if I jump all on you, if that's how you take it, and I give you some bitter medicine, understand that when I was growing up, the nastiest medicine was always the best medicine. The ugliest looking medicine was always the best. Sometimes the ugliest women were some of the best women. But, you know, ugly don't mean ugly. Raw doesn't mean it's not good for you. I try to give you the raw truth or my perspective of truth, or I try to tell you to stop traveling that road because you're wasting time. You're not going to have results, and you're going to wind up getting some wounds that might set you back for a generation. So I appreciate the sister, for the elder, for coming on and telling you that she wasn't ready to swallow the truth, that reality. That truth sometimes is painful. Sometimes I don't deliver it like most other leaders or religious groups or, you know, it's not wrapped up in strawberry shortcake sometimes. You know, sometimes I think about it. But hopefully everybody out there takes what I say and what I do and the spirit by which I deliver it, and it's all done in peace, harmony, and respect, even though it may not sound that way. So I thank her for pointing that out. We're going to go back to the call line. Let's go to 317-1342, 317-1342. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question, comment, or concern?
Yes. Peace to the gods and goddesses. How you
peace,
doing,
brother Indiana? Sleep? What's happening? I'm doing well.
Okay. All right. You know, a lot of things have gone through my mind since you gave us the guideline for the topic. Leadership. The so-called leaders that we had in the past, they are in the past, and they left the legacy, right, and they left examples. We're supposed to be mature enough to learn from those examples. And you mentioned something about it's basically insane for people to keep doing something and using something that they know is not going to work. You know, and that's what upsets me so much when I hear the solutions on high frequency radio. At 57 years old, my eyes are waking up, my heart's open, my chakras is working, I'm working on my health and my intellect. And all through the flip, I have been struggling with the community here in Indiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, pointing back, because if 10 years ago, we dealt with civil rights 20 years, 30, 40, 50 years. We dealt with it with marching and all that kind of stuff. Then here in 2014, we read the headlines, and it almost looked identical to 1968 headlines. I'm going to go back that far.
Indeed. Indeed.
And, okay, and it's the same headlines, same school problems, same economy problems, same police problems. You know, you go back, you look at Emmett Till, and you look at Yusuf Hawkins, you look at Tawana Brawley, you look at all these different ones that we done protested, and we see these, and I don't disrespect, but this is what a friend of mine labeled, we have a dream niggas that keep bringing us this nonsense for self-development, turn the cheek, and let this just keep happening. Every 10 years, I done clocked this.
Yes.
Every 10 years, if you go back again to the same recycle. So, you know, the fear of our people, of another race, after being conditioned for so long is one thing. But to have the type of freedom that we have right now, to say, okay, that happened to us, we should take example, we should come among ourselves and build for ourselves and trust each other and what it is we are trying to accomplish. Now, the funny thing about other ethnic groups, Brother Sharif and family, is that the one I really take to is the Japanese, because even though we had a bomb dropped us on us during that Red Summer that was what Jonah was speaking about, them bombs that they dropped on Japan, where they had that black rain and chemical, all kind of outburst, it just tore those Japanese up. But they came back to be a commercial giant to reckon with. And we haven't even looked at the miracle in that to see what the creative forces and the ancestors could do for what they did for them, they could do for us. And we refuse to do it. We're like Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. When it came time to say, come out of that nonsense, here's high frequency radio, here's three brothers up here in the group, here, I got the Noah's boat, I got everything I need right here. Resurrection, everything. There are all the Masonic concepts, everything. High frequency radio is bringing the keys out, unlocking them tunes in your mind so you can live. And you sit up there and shake the preacher's hand. And my interpretation of shaking the preacher's hand is, at the end of a Baptist church sermon, the reverend calls the people up and says, you want to be saved? And they come up there. And some of them go get baptized. But the one that shakes the preacher's hand cries, because they know they done did wrong. They know that the people that they're dealing with is wrong. But they just want to shake their hand because they don't have that strength to make change. And our people is caught up, Sharif. They're caught up with that spell of English, that spell of religion, that spell of psychology that the people use against us, the witchcraft that they used against us, the voodoo that they used against us, the contracts, the commerce that they used against us, that even though right now we got Google, we can Google everything up in the world, because I've been Googling this up, and the solutions is right there. It's just a matter of lining everything up.
That's
they
right.
Lazy, Brother Sharif. We got some lazy, trifling leaders that don't care about us. And the communities eating off of each other, and other communities are eating off of us, and they don't want to hear it. And
that's
a
right.
Leader, a true leader, Sharif, he got to put that mirror in front of him and tell him, this is the problem. Don't tell me about the white man. Don't tell me about that. We already know that. What's your problem now? You won't add, you won't read, so... Let me come to ground. All the people want to talk. The most beautiful thing that I can see that happened right now is that every community that we're in, that those grassroots brothers and sisters that they don't see in the limelight, that we communicate with them as much as we can and bring our community to the parks, to the highways, wherever, and start educating our young children. Start educating them on the law and the commerce and stuff that we need, and get the resources so the grassroots and go on and build it again. Because even in Warthi Muhammad, the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad's son said, all this industry is going to pass away and ain't going to be nothing left but the grassroots people. So before that happened, we need to make some kind of move to correct the problem and be able to grow our own food, build our own hospitals, have our own shopping mall, make our own clothes, make our own Pampers, make our own toothpaste and toilet paper, and make our own stuff and stop worrying about going to Walmart and all these other places. We must come together now. And one more thing, Sharif, that you expressed so beautifully, you and Jonah and Yusuf and El Savage, I'm not concerned about what title, what label, and what name you call yourself. I'm not. If that spirit, that spirit in you, and it's universal, and it has that mother wit about it, when you care, you have that nurturing nature inside you with that spirit, that's who I see you as. I'm not looking at the smile on your face. I'm not looking at your eyes when you're looking direct at me. I'm feeling you. And if I can't feel that spirit, I'm going to do like it said in Scripture, get behind me, Satan, because you're here to divide. And that's what we got to do. And everybody's a leader within itself. So we need to stop crying and go on and do what they got to do. Now, I went to court on something, and this judge, when I got to speak in that courtroom on my concern, the place got real quiet. I wasn't cussing. I wasn't acting real crazy. I was just expressing myself. The judge took and had a recess. When the judge came back, he was dealing with an intimidation charge. When he came back, he said, we will come back in a week, and I'm going to have my decision. And my public defender looked at me. The prosecutor looked at me. The bailiffs looked at me. It just shook. They couldn't understand why the judge did, because that was out of the norm. I was standing up for who I am. Not, you know, I was telling them my rights. I was giving them codes and everything they need to kill this thing. And he couldn't deal with it, so he left the courtroom. All I'm saying is they are people, too. They put their pants on just like we do.
Indeed.
And when they see you know they wrong with you, they people, they human beings. They got more fear of you than you have on them, because you could do more damage to them than what they really can do to you. So I'm going to get off.
The damage comes in the amount of the people. Just one of them. This is why I tell everybody, gather, galvanize, and go to these venues with 5-10 people. Can one individual beat 5 or 10 people for months and months to come? He might close that case out today. But do you want to have 10 people that tell 10 people and be like, look, this particular official is not doing what their own rules say? Does he want to be harassed and haunted by the people for not doing what you're supposed to do? No, they do not. Let me tell you one other thing you said that is very, very profound. You know, in doing debt and teaching people about debt and educating them and having them be debt responsible and having them get rid of debts that they are not obligated to, what I always say is that most people, and most of our, this, you know, certain societies teach you how to run from the court and you don't have to go, and that sand underneath that building belongs to you, so anything the building stands on belongs to you. But, you know, all this other garbage, okay? Let me just call it what it is. It's garbage.
Right.
At the end of the day, what I always tell people is that you have to put a humanistic side to paper. Everything that run with these debt collectors, with the legal society, with the courts, with the politicians, the only thing they see is a computer, paper, and files. You cannot get any energy. You cannot get reality from looking at paper and computers all day long, which is why I say you have to appear before these individuals. Because when you appear before that judge, when you appear before that official, when you appear before these people, now they have spirit and visual, and that now that paper becomes humanistic. Other than that, it's just a case number. It's just somebody that but when you see that person and you remember that person and you see that person that they have kids and that, and they tell you, this is illegal. My family is being affected. You're dispossessing my family. You're lying. You know, when you're able to look into these devil's eyes, these people that are lying to obtain property against you, to take your money, to oppress you, and you're able to look at them and give them spirit and energy, you're going to change everything. Now, when they look at that computer and that file, it has a face to it.
Right.
It has energy to it. They remember it. okay, either positively or negatively, but it's not like the rest of the files where you're never seeing the people and you're just issuing orders or you're just making decisions for the people or you're a politician, you're making decisions for millions of people because there's no face to it. The only face you remember is your own family. So get in front of these people and bring your spirit and your respect and your knowledge of law and self, and then you will have an opportunity to change your situation. Until you do that, you're just a piece of paper. You're just a file. You're a case number. You're just one of the people in that community. You're just another religious group. You understand? There is no humanistic value to it. So you made some very strong arguments and comments. And one thing I want to say about the leaders is there's conferences going on right now with leaders that need to do events because they have no money. How are you a leader when you do not demonstrate any success? And I'm not saying you have to be rich or wealthy, but what I find is that most leaders are so engulfed in themselves or even engulfed to the point where they don't enjoy themselves. Sister Unique was on there the other day, and she said, the elders are not here because they're sick. Okay? They're just, well, why are they sick? When a lot of these elders are teaching metaphysics, teaching respect of the body, teaching health awareness. I can't have a person that's going to be my personal trainer that's overweight. So how can you teach me how to do something when you don't do it yourself?
That's true.
Okay? I just don't understand that. I mean, how can you teach? Like, I would go maybe to Michael Jordan if he had an event on economics. He's wealthy.
Right.
He hasn't lost his wealth. Would I go to Mike Tyson's event? No. Because why? You are wealthy and you haven't regained that. You understand what I mean? Now you're a comedian asking for $20 to talk about when you bit Holyfield's ear off. I'm not being disrespectful. What I'm saying is, what can you teach the people if you're not successful in what you do? So this is why when I talk about high frequency radio and I talk about my debt ministry, I know what I'm doing. You hear it every show. You hear people employing. I know what I'm doing. If you want to deem me a leader, you don't have to deem me anything. I'm nothing without the Creator, but I know what I'm doing. So you won't ever find me in a situation because of a debt. Never. And you won't ever have to have me holding an event to scrape a few dollars because a debt collector is beating the nonsense out of me. It's not going to happen. So some of our leaders, they're out there still talking about what happened 500 years ago. This is when they bring out the Jessies and the Al Sharptons to go pass out some chicken, some Kool-Aid, and some barbecue sauce when a kid like Trayvon Martin gets killed and say, let's march. What in the boop, boop, boop are you marching about? Marching? Yeah. We did that 400 years ago while certain people was getting hosed down. Like, what? Like, seriously, what? When these knuckleheads come out with all their plastic surgery and everything else, and they come out and they say, let's go march, but you're not teaching them civics, you're not teaching them economics, you're not going after them in litigation.
No.
You're not suing these individuals. You're just coming out, and they send these little jokers out. They call them out and be like, y'all go out there and calm them people down. Right? They don't want you to riot because of Trayvon Martin. But I'm just reading on an article on the news yesterday that in Arizona, certain class of people was out there rioting and beating the police up because they lost a college football game and had some millions of dollars in damages over a college football game. Do you understand? Okay, so we gotta wake up, man. We gotta grow up. We really do. This is really getting ridiculous. But listen, man, great comments.
Okay.
Appreciate your contributions on that, brother. Keep supporting us. I know you've been here. You're down in Indiana. We're coming to Indiana.
Yep.
So just stand by.
Yes, we are. All right, then, peace.
All right, brother, peace. Thank you. All right. Appreciate that caller calling in. He has some interesting information to provide. Let's go on and see if anybody else wants to contribute. 856-756-7524. You're on High Frequency Radio Network. Do you have a question?
Brother Sharif, how you doing?
Well, brother, how you doing?
All right. Peace and blessings to you.
And, you too,
peace
brother.
And blessings to your guest. Really, as a people, we're not free thinkers. You know, I was watching TV the other day. I'm looking at commercials. These drug commercials, they're talking about the side effects from these drugs, but people will still go out and take these drugs. There's no way I would take a drug that tells my neck is hurting, and the drug says it may cause neck pain. Well, why would I take that drug? It doesn't make sense. Some of them say may cause death, but these pharmaceutical companies aren't going out of business because these drugs are being pushed every day. But we don't listen. We don't turn anything inward. The last brother was speaking about different things that's going on in the community, and I say, he said one thing. He said that we don't communicate. Well, our leaders don't communicate. What you guys are doing there at High Frequency Radio is astronomical. It's a beautiful thing. And if the Creator ever makes it possible, I would like to somehow or another help you guys. But it's a beautiful thing what you guys are doing. I have the opportunity to study under Taj Tariq Bey. What he does is a beautiful thing. If somehow or another, you know, all you good brothers, and I see you trying to pull it together. I've heard every one of your shows. I see you trying to pull it together. But if everybody has their lane. Like you said, debt is your lane. Taj got civics. You know, different ones have health. If we can pull all these lanes together, we got a beautiful thing.
Yes.
What you're doing, you're building wealth. Wealth, that's the catalyst. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. If we can come together and build some wealth, then everything else will fall in line. So it seems to me you really, what you're putting together is a foundation. It's a foundation that a strong nation can be built off of. Without the wealth, you're just a joke. You're not going anywhere. You know? And, I mean, I listen to some of these young brothers. I'm some of them make me so proud, and I see the wisdom. And I wish that a lot of these things that I've learned later in life, I would have learned as a young man. And I like to put it into my kids and my grandkids, you know, so they can come up differently than I did. They can come up understanding and knowing and not allowing people to walk over top of them. And when you talk about turning another cheek, I only got two. I only have two cheeks.
That's right. That's right.
You know? And now my cheeks is made for my grandkids to kiss. That's it.
That's right.
That's it. I can't turn my cheeks for anything else. That's right.
Brother, I appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate you too, brother. I appreciate you too.
As an elder, you coming on and being real and not only empowering the younger leaders, but this is why I say, and I'm going to bring my mother on in a minute, this is why I say we need the elders like you to come on and just, if not anything, provide some high petroleum gasoline for the youth, which is why I'm trying to plant seeds in other brothers. I have proteges, I have students that I'm teaching what I know. So them at an age of 25, 30, they can take the demonstration, not the information. I'm on information overload. I need something that works. We need something that we can actually see. And when you talk about wealth, you know, this is why I picked the economic road. It's the most difficult road. But people don't like to mess with it, but I'm on that, and that's where the Creator wants me. So when we start releasing these economic shackles and restraints, don't you think we'll be more relaxed more comfortable to go and sit and listen to the Taj Tariqs, the elders, listen to some of the elders, because we're relaxed. We don't have to be on the plantation. We're not hustling and bustling, working three or four jobs. We're not scared to answer the phone. We're not scared to open up the mailbox. We're not scared to do what it is we need to do. See, when we have that wealth and some economic foundation, now we can invest in, you know, we talk about all this, you know, we got to get non-organic foods and all that. Well, who can afford that when you don't have any money? So I'm trying to bring the money springboard to the situation so we can take a week and go somewhere and have an elder like Taj Tariq take us a week through civics and history so we can appreciate that without worrying about, oh, it's 5 o'clock, I got to get home and go to work. You understand? If we have some economic stability, which is what I'm trying to do, then everything else, including spirituality, because I'm telling you right now, if I don't have some money in my pocket, I mean, I'm a spirituality man, it's not going to carry me alone. You understand? I got to be able to provide for my family. I got to be able to be comfortable within myself, and I don't think I'm myself comfortable unless I'm able to navigate commercially and economically. I'm sorry. Give me all the, you know, that's why, and I don't talk against the church. There's nothing wrong with church. Grew up in church. You know, I'm glad for it. But what I'm saying, I see church moving into just, it's just a business now. It's some feel good. It's no different than the ABC store. It's some feel good for a short amount of time, and then reality comes right after that. So we got to have more than that. We have to have economic stability. We got to stop buying the $500 Jordans and waiting in the line overnight with sleeping bags and roll out fold up chairs trying to get a pair of sneakers. Like, this is like really nonsense. But brother, what I want to ask you before you go, and I really appreciate your support and your contribution, is that do you not agree that we're living too much in the past? Like, you just said that today we didn't have the instruments. We didn't even have mortgages and deeds and deed of trust and security deeds. You know, the commercial world is changing. We can't look to, you know, the old leaders to figure these things out. I'm talking about the old leaders that are no longer here with us. I'm not talking about the ones that are here. They can't do anything about that. You can march in front of those banks every day. They don't care. They're not changing anything. So, you know, when I get kind of, I'm like, where are the leaders today? Who can we look to today? Is it high frequency network? Is it somewhere else? You know, can other communities and other races, do they still look at Christopher Columbus or Mark Twain or Lincoln or Jefferson and just focus on the founding fathers? Okay, the founding fathers are not here anymore. iPhones, debt strangulation, debt abuse, banking abuse, physical abuse, community abuse, economic abuse is here. I don't know if Christopher Columbus or anybody else in the past can help me with that. And referring to them, I don't know how much that does for me. What do you say about that?
Well, I agree. Now, I said that we should look to our past leaders for the spirit that drove them.
Yes.
Not
yes.
for what they did. That same spirit right. that was in them, you carry within you. Taj carries within him. We all have that spirit within us.
Right.
That's what we should look for. We should look for the spirit, not the marching. Marching is gone. It doesn't do anything. Economics is here, and that's what we need. We need the economics. We need the economics and then the knowledge, the knowledge that branches off from that, because like you said, if you can't afford, if you're going to any of these inner cities, out of them, you can't even find a green vegetable. You can't find one. And they don't
right.
have the money to go anywhere else to get some to get good food. They
Thank
need
you.
Economics. That is the foundation. And what you're building is the foundation. Where you are, that is the foundation of a nation. And everything else will branch off from there. But
That's right.
the foundation is where it's at. That's where it's at. And that's what we need to get these young brothers and young sisters to understand, get them to learn, and you're doing a heck of a job. And I mean, I know you got it coming from all different angles, because And I don't know if you knew the floodgates was going to open up on you like they have. Like, I know they have.
I didn't, brother. You're an elder, and you called that. You called that. I couldn't have said it as well as you did. I had no idea. I really had no idea that the universe was leading me to where it is now. I didn't know that I knew as much as I knew, because what I knew, I used it for certain realm of people. So when I came out into the community, and Yusef invited me into this forum, and I've been on other forums, but there was always a draw to me in that I thought many people knew some of the things that I knew, probably not how to demonstrate it, but I was surprised that we really don't. So I became, you know, passionate about making contributions economically to the community, and I'm doing that. And it's not taking me years, because it don't have to. I mean, I can give you information and education and that can enrich you economically, that can save money from leaving your pocket, and in most cases, put money in your pocket. Now we're more comfortable. Now we can invest in schools. Now we can invest in building community. Now we can invest in education. Now we can invest in the physical, in the body. Now we can buy more expensive or even equivalent. Now we can build farms. You know, but, you know, the reason why we go in circles and these things just regurgitate and recirculate is because there's no economic footing. So you can talk all you want about all these different things until there's some economic relief coming to any community. I don't care if you're white, black, green, or purple. They don't care what color you are. Long as you represent some money, or long as they can get you to go on the plantation and work, you're getting oppressed by commerce. And until you figure out how to deal with that, you're not going to have an interest in anything else. Yeah, you're going to run to the church or whatever religious edifice you frequent to get that one day of hope and change, and you know, some singing and some, you know, maybe eat a couple pieces of chicken or eat some sushi, whatever it is you eat. And then once you go back home, you're preparing for another week doing something that you really don't want to do, or another week of debt collectors harassing you, stealing your property, of discrimination, of all those things. And when you have wealth, and I'm not saying that wealth is necessarily money, but I don't subscribe to, you know, being wealthy intellectually and not being able to transpose that knowledge into something economically sound. Because if we wanted to fight someone, you know, I hear a lot of these people in certain nations that, you know, we got to take action. Well, what are you going to buy? Because you don't have anything, so how are you going to fund anything? Like, where are you getting the books from? How can you rent the facility unless you got to borrow it from somebody to have you talk about something? And brother, tell me about, if you would, Elder, because you sound like you've been around a long time. You've talked to Taj. I've heard Taj maybe touch on it, and he's one of the respected elders. Tell me about this extraterrestrial and alien stuff that, you know, a lot of these elders and people are pushing, that supposed to, what is it supposed to do, or what's the education about? How does it relate to anybody? Tell me about that if you know anything about it, or maybe I'm just
I know a little bit about it, but my experience was over about 22, 23, 24 years ago when I got a divorce. I, you know, once I divorced that alien, that was it.
So you said the alien was in your house?
The alien was in my house. I know they're real.
Wow.
I know they're real. I know they're real, but I try to stay away from them now.
Right. I got you, brother.
Like I said,
I don't know if anybody caught
really,
that, but I got it.
I really appreciate what you're doing, and like I said, it is the foundation. Nothing else will grow without the foundation. What you're doing is the foundation for a nation. That's what it is. It's the foundation. And everything else is fine. It's dandy. It's beautiful. It has a place, but it's not going to grow a nation. Because without economics, a nation is not going to grow. You can't. It's like planting a garden without water. It's not going to grow. You know what you're giving. You. This is the water. This is the life energy for growing a nation. That's what it is. What you're doing, and you're doing
yes,
a
sir.
Very good job. And
thank you, brother.
Some people might think that you're hard. I think you're passionate. I hear it in your voice. You're passionate.
Yes.
When I see somebody getting ready to do something that's going to hurt them, I might sound like I'm being hard, but I'm not being hard. I'm passionate. I don't want to see you go through what I know you're getting ready to go through.
There you go. There you go, Elder. That's right. That is exactly right. Exactly right. Love you, brother. Elder, thank God for you. Thanks for the wisdom, the deposits of knowledge. This is an elder that's seen it. Why do we keep going in these circles when we have elders that's probably lost more years than you're going to live doing things that wasn't productive, when we have elders that's just able to peek in and say, I like that road you on. That's all we need. I like that road you on. Keep doing what you're doing. I like what you're doing. That's knowledge. That's wisdom. That's years of experience. And we are supposed to use them for that. It's very short. The elders should be healthy. We should be taking care of them. They should be happy. They don't have to necessarily be wealthy, but they should be comfortable. And all they should be able to come in and throw 5 or 10 minutes behind the youth and the gladiators and the new warriors and say, you doing good. Stay on that trail. Don't go over here. Don't do that. Tighten up a little bit. But you're doing good. We don't need long speeches. I mean, we need the elders just to guide us, just to say, yep, give us enough. That's all. Like,
but one,
I play
one
ball.
One,
sure, go ahead, Elder.
One last thing, Sharif. One thing I noticed is that you give respect to the elders, and I noticed that you have the mother on your show, and
yes.
You do that. Because that's one of the disconnects that we have is our youth is not getting that wisdom from the elders, because in a lot of cases, the elders are afraid of the youth, and that is unheard of. It shouldn't be that way, but that's the reality of it. But like I said, everything comes from the foundation. When the foundation is correct, the elders and the youth will be together. So what you're building is a nation. What you're doing here is your nation building. And you're doing it better than anyone that I have ever seen. Better than anyone I've ever seen. You're the best that I have seen.
Honors. Thank you for that. Those type of deposits is why I bring the elders on here and I give respect to the elders, because if the elders nod at me, I can have 10 of the people give me an issue. But if the elders give me the nod, I'm riding out that lane. I'm not moving. If the elders tell me I'm going astray, or you a little bit to this, or you a little bit to that, I'm going to listen, and I'm going to go to the table. I'm going to go to the closet. I'm going to close the door, and I'm going to ask the Creator and the universe and the angels to correct me. But if some of you calling them, you're too rough. I mean, like, I'm going to keep it coming. Until the elders come and tell me, Brother Sharif, you off kilter, I don't care, because I know a lot of you are not seasoned enough to know the difference in right and wrong about certain topics. So I'm going to keep it coming. And Elder, I thank you. I definitely want you to keep frequenting the show. I ask the Creator and the universe to bring the mothers and the elders to the show. I got a mother through the show. Looks like we got a father of the show that's bringing deposits, depository information, telling us, guiding me. Why do I have them on the call? I talk to my mother, and she'd be like, you know what? I'd be like, Mother, what do you think about that caller and this and that? She said, no, you, Sharif, you the seed plant, you're planting seed, like, you're doing fine? Like, no. Or she might say, yeah, you probably should have, you know, this or that. That's who I call. I don't call the listeners after the show and be like, well, what you think? Well, you know, I was a little bit too sensitive about that. Yeah, I know you're sensitive because you're struggling, because you're young, you think you know it all. And I'm talking to my own experience, and I'm not an elder, but I'm not a youth. And you're not taking what I'm saying because you're battling, you have a duality with truth and fiction. I'm telling you to turn the TV off and pay attention to reality radio, as opposed to listening to or making your icon Little Wayne. you know, that's disrespecting the mothers. Like, these are our icons now. This is who our youth is running around with T-shirts with Lil Wayne on it. You know, so what are we doing? Like, we're not doing enough. So, Elder, I appreciate you. I deem you the father of the show, of the network now, because I feel your spirit, and you are able, okay, and it takes an elder to do this. It takes an elder to do this. You're able, without knowing me, without seeing me, to pick up and say, no, brother's spirit is right. Like, he's passionate. He's not being rude. He's not cocky. He's not arrogant. He's not trying to be disrespectful. He's passionate. He believes, he cares. And in order to do that, you really have to be an elder. So I thank you, Father, for coming on the show. Stay here. I want to open up the line and bring the mother in. See what the mother has to say. She's been on hold for a minute. Mother, you there?
Shalom, shalom, yes.
Shalom, shalom.
Yes.
The elders have showed up. We talked about that. I said, look, I got the mother. I need the father up in here. We need the elders to come through and just bless the network and say, y'all are doing okay. Tweak us a little bit. I don't want the people to tweak us, because we're going to keep bringing the message, because we know there's going to be adversaries. There's going to be adverse reactions to what we deliver. Tell me about the show. Tell me about the father that just spoke, the elder. And tell me your feelings on leadership and past and leaders that we look toward for our help. And just, you know, just put your mother energy down for me.
Yes. A beautiful elder. When I hear in people's voices that they're a little, like, fearful of what you're saying, they just have to listen more, because when I first heard you, Sharif, I said, that's the one. That's what my spirit said. My spirit said, that's the one. He's compassionate. He know how to give you what you need. It's like you had said it, when your parents line you up for your medicine, you don't want it, but it's very beneficial to get into your system. And once it's in your system, you can resist all the attacks. You can resist all the attacks of the colds, the flu, you know, aches and pains. You can resist all that. And that's what you give. You give medicine that goes in and it heals. It heals the listeners. And sometimes they resist it, but they know once it get in, it does a healing. Because you're compassionate about your people. There's that trust that you want your people to have for you. And they know that once they get that trust for what you're saying, because you said it, I get on here and things come, you say things, and you know that the Creator is preparing you. And that's how they link it back. They will link it back that if it can happen to see Sharif, it can happen for me also. When you had spoke about turning the other cheek, well, I said, well, let me see where that is in the scripture. And it's in several places in Luke and in Matthew. It says, but resist. But let me read it exactly. I just want to read that so we can. It says, but I tell, do not resist an evil person or a wicked one. You know why? Uh-huh. Then when we go before the court system, and we are equipped with all the information about the debt collector and the pretender, and we call them and we communicate with them, it says, but do not resist that, because you have all the ammunition, all the equipment, all the knowledge, all everything you need to know about the deception and the wickedness that they're doing. You have it all, so you can turn the other's cheek. Because they can't touch you. You said it. You wind up exposing them and suing them, and they have to give to you. So this turning this other cheek that I thought that was so, you know, you're getting injured on both sides. No, you're receiving on both sides, because you're not answering your phone. You're not opening up your bills that you get in the mail, or you open up those letters, and we have been taught to confront them. Don't try to run away from it. Look, brother, Siri, what happened to me when I first, in beginning of March, I had changed my health plan, And when I changed it, I specifically said to the woman, look, this won't affect my husband's because he's not changing. I'm just changing mine. Because it opened up where I can get glasses and something like, you know, things like that. So I was just changing mine. When it all boiled down, he was affected also. So he didn't have any. The month of February, he was in the hospital, in and out of emergency rooms and in other procedures with doctors, at least 12 days out of that month. So Black History Month was definitely a Black History Month for him because it wasn't that beneficial. So what happened is that I started, I called Medicare, I called my New York State retirement plan for health care, I called the new a freedom plan that I went into, and when I called New York, they said you have to talk with Freedom. They have to release you as of January the 1st. And then when I called Medicare, I got Medicare. I got the runaround, but I got in touch with this one man, and he said, I said, well, so and so referred me to you. He said that they don't matter. I'm the one that matters. What can I do for you? And I said, well, I need my date to be restored back to January the 1st, 2014, he said, well, I don't know whether that could happen, but I'll see what I can do. You know, he was stern, right? So he said, well, I'm going to work on this, and I'm going to give you a call. The next day, a man that was hiding him called me. He said, your date has been put back to 1-1-2014. You don't have any issues. There's no problems. Fax this to New York State so they can change your date. So I got a letter in the mail Saturday saying that I didn't have any coverage. So I'm thinking, okay, I got to call C. Sharif because I done did everything. I got to call him and see what can happen with this. So the creator said, no, Monday morning you just get on the phone early. You call. And I call, and first I got to run around, and then the next person, his name was Kyle. He said, oh, how can I help you? And I told him. He said, well, you're in. I said I got this letter of cancellation. He said, "No, you're in a computer as of 3:25. You've been restored back to 1-1-14." And I said, "I said Toda ya to the Creator. I just thanked him, and I asked the guy Kyle. I said, "Is there anything I can do for you?" I said, "Whatever your needs are. I don't know your needs, but whatever your needs are, don't worry about them. If you've been expecting things to happen for you, I told him it's going to happen now." He said, thank you. So I said, yes, it's going to happen. I said, why? Because you serviced me. You made sure that I got off this phone and everything that I was working on was complete. And I said, you did that for me. Now I have to do something for you. And so that's how. Yes. And where did I get it from? Listening to Debt Collector. I wouldn't answer no phone. I said, I answer no phone. I said, either going to someone trying to sell me a walker, and I don't need a walker. I can run, skip, hop. And I said, is someone trying to give me a bracelet to put on my hand for if I fall, emergency, this and that? I said, I wouldn't answer the phone. Now when the phone ring, I answer my phone because why? You said, answer your phone, answer your mail, hit it head on. Know what was happening so you could respond based on truth. And you gave me truth on how to operate in that area. And other people, that's been their testimonies. It has happened for them. That's what they testify to. And so that's what
and Mother,
we get
that's
out.
Ironic, and
the leader,
and I'm going to let the father comment on that too because, you know, just like I told you, it's the education, it's the energy that goes into it. As long as people know they have a defense, they might not know what that defense is, but they speak with the energy and the confidence that if you don't do what I need you to do, I'm just going to go to the show and find out what I need to do not to have you handle it only, but I might make you pay for delaying me or denying me what I'm supposed to get.
I just got the letter in the mail. My husband just gave it to me. New York State Health Insurance Program coverage has been reinstated.
Beautiful.
Just got
and this
in
is
the
why
mail.
I said with the elders, and I'll let the father make one comment and let him go. You know, the mother came on, and she emailed me, I think, and she says, I want to go, son, to your webinars and whatnot. I said, what? You don't know my webinars or what? No, I want to learn. You don't learn. You got a son. Like, you not know. This part of your journey is relaxation. You call your kid.
and you say, I got a problem, take care of it. See, that's how we give back to the fathers that's on the line, to the mothers. Now, you're not, listen, I handle that. That's my, I know somebody, mother, that can handle that work down there. Let me call and get that handled for you so you can relax.
Yes.
That's what we give back to the elders. That's how we give back. You don't go to no webinars. You got a problem with a deck, like, call me. You had a son, and I'll take care of that. Father, what do you think about that?
I think it goes right back to what I said earlier, Sheree. You're the water. You're the water. It's the life force. It's the life force of the movement. What you're given is life force. And just that testimony right there, it shows you the energy that she received from you. It's a life-giving energy. And I say it's the foundation of everything. It's the foundation.
Yes. I want to say one thing about leadership. Leadership, you have to be a leader by example. You can't say one thing out of your mouth and your actions is different. You want a leader, just let him speak and see how he moves. If he doesn't move in the truth that he gives out, he's not a leader. He's a counterfeiter.
This is true.
That's right. You have to walk the walk. When you speak it, you have to walk in it. And then you can prove to others it works. It works. Don't be afraid.
All right.
Fear not. When you hear the truth, receive it and apply that truth to all situations that you have. Yes, I am. You know, I can agree with the elder, the father. I can agree with him. I can agree with Sharif on all that is happening. Don't fear. Receive it. Receive it. Don't say, well, he's too harsh. You're never too. When you give the truth out, you're never harsh. You're always right because you hit the targets that is intended to hit. It doesn't miss. There's no miss in truth. It always works for you. That's why we've been in error so much, because we've been listening to lies, deception, things that has nothing to do with an increase in our lives, just to drag us, just to diminish us. We have to receive things that's going to increase us, prosper us, give us wealth, and wealth is not money.
That's right.
Wealth don't have to be money. It could be a part of it, but that's not wealth. You have to have the total of wealth, and that includes money and truth. And you must stay balanced. And whatever you do, you must stay balanced. When you get unbalanced, you fall. You become lopsided. So this is a balance. I get balanced from hearing high frequency. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. It makes my day complete. Yes.
That's great. Whenever the sons can give back to you all in this manner, that's what energizes me. As a kid, when I played ball, I played better ball when my mother or father was at the game, because I looked to them for approval. So I'm really dancing and shaking and baking when my parents was there. When I went away and they wasn't there, I was kind of like, I used to look at my dad like, what you think? Should I do this or do that? He'd be like, nah, calm down, we need that. So I really thank the Creator and thank God for both of you for being here, because as long as we have your approval, we're going to pick up a little bit of speed now. You know, we comfortable, and I'm a speed demon. Like, I want people to get it and get it quick, because I want you to have some relief, and let's move on to talking about other things that maybe some of the elders and leaders are talking about, but we don't want to hear it if we're getting kicked out of our house tomorrow, or we don't want to hear it if we got to go to court and be in unfamiliar territory and having our wages garnished and being up here working 3 or 4 jobs and, you know, all that stuff. We can't receive, you know, the metaphysical side if our economic foundation is not there. It's just, I don't care what you say. I'm not showing up tomorrow to Boy Scout because I don't have enough money to pay for Boy Scout. You know, so, you know, I'm trying to do things in order, and economically, you know, I just hear the relief that people are having coming on the show. And that touches me more than anything. There is not an amount of money in the world that can replace when somebody comes on like they did last week. And the brother said, based on the information that he was able to ward off a judgment, and he had custody of one of his kids and was paying child support for two, and had this debt collector been able to obtain a judgment, it would have killed his support to all three kids and just put him in an economic position that would have been unsustainable. You can't pay me enough money for those kind of testimonials. And that was something that this brother just got my webinars a couple of weeks ago. This is not something that we've been talking about for 20 years, 15 years, 5 years, 10 years. This is something that the brother was able to demonstrate and employ immediately and just be able to circumvent disaster. That's what I'm talking about. Now, that brother said, I support you in whatever you do. Why? Because you made a deposit into my economic bank. And for that, now I can see better. Now I can maintain that manhood. Now I can. Now I'm really thirsty for the education because I want to build up a stronger defense around me, a stronger fence, economic fence around me. And now when we start talking to the community, now we're not stressed out about money. Now we can say, hey, mother, get on the plane. Mother and father, we doing an event over here. Come on, you know, the plane tickets, just get on. Come on, I want y'all on stage. You understand? You know, so that's what it's all about. But we go in circles because I believe we don't have the economic stability. But, you know, as Brother Youssef say, we, you know, $50 billion or trillion in money goes through our community. But it goes through our community, but where does it go? Well, we don't have enough, all right, to spread out and do things that we want because we're commercially and economically uneducated. You know, I had a gentleman in the chat make a comment and says that, you know, it's ignorance, you know, not commerce that's enslaving us. You know, the word ignorant to me is kind of harsh, even though I'm a harsh person. I don't think we're ignorant. I think we're not educated because you're going to do intercourse with commerce. And yes, you should do it and be educated about how you're doing it. But, you know, ignorant is not a word that I would use, even though I'm a sword speaker. You know, I use uneducated, and that's what we are, because ignorant to me tells me that even if you're educated, you got some educated, ignorant people. So I don't think ignorance is a word I would use in any community. But nonetheless, thank you, Mother and Father, for being here. I'm going to keep y'all here. I'm going to close your lines out. I'm going to go to the caller line. But I thank you and I love you, and thank you for coming here. And Father, thank you for being here and coming to the network, because your contribution in words and spirit doesn't have a monetary value. That means more to me than if they dropped $1 billion. They dropped $1 billion today, but I didn't have any of the elders, you know, giving me a nod. I would probably spend that billion and be like a lot of billionaires, or go broke, or be like Mike Tyson, spend all the money, you know, because I don't have a nod from the elders. I don't have a nod from the universe. So I appreciate you for bringing that to High Frequency Network, to this show, to me. Mother, I appreciate the nickname The Seed, because that's really truly what I intend to do but couldn't put it in those words. Okay, I think I'm planting, and that's what I want to do, is plant, and I want to give back to the community and let them see that some leaders, or if you want to deem them leaders, does have something to offer that you can demonstrate immediately that's going to help you economically. And that's what we need, and not just asking you for money and we spending $5,000-$10,000 on processes, and we spending all this money for status corrections and all this other, you know, stuff that's going on out there that's just nonsense. I mean, this just real. Oh, you gonna get a status correction and all of a sudden you rich now, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're invisible. You know, like I don't even get it. Like, you know, and I get these stories and I get these phone calls and emails all the time on certain leaders in this community that is just taking money from people and absolutely on fraudulent terms and not giving them anything and giving them a song and dance. And they're still gurus and leaders. People still follow and look at them and run behind them. I'm killing all of that. I'm just telling y'all right now, I'm going to start calling you out, because this is – contributing to the destruction of all communities. They have them in every race, black, white, green, and purple. You got the leaders and the gurus just taking money from you, and they just taking it from you on some nonsense. Well, hopefully this ministry and this network will have you start attacking those people and giving them the needed negative attention that they deserve until they come around and make positive deposits into the banks of each community worldwide. So thank you, Mother and Father. I'm going to go to the call lines, and I'm going to go to, let's go to 623-2632. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a question?
Greetings, greetings, Brother Sharif. This is Unique. How you doing?
Unique, peace. Peace, sister. All right, one of the goddesses, the queen of the network, called
peace.
In. I let me mark your number so I'll know. You know, that's you. I didn't know you were there. Well, go on and give us some
okay.
more of that feminine energy. The mother, the father was here. You spoke that into existence. I said, Unique, we need the elders. We need the mothers and the fathers. And you said they're unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're
mm-hmm.
sick, you know. And you're in the health industry trying to do a business that specifically targets the elderly, which is honorable, because most of our wisdom and direction lies in some of our elders that are in institutions. They're in homes. They're in homes with reverse mortgages. The debt collectors are stealing their wealth. The legal society are taking people that have money and demonizing. You know, I can share with y'all stories that will actually make you slap the phone on the floor when you talk about the kind of abuse that elderly people are experiencing now, which is why I say I'm going to grab me a mother and a father right quick, and I'm going to show y'all how you take care of your elders. Do you understand? Because, you know, they would become, no matter how intelligent they are, this commercial world is so big and so dynamic and so fluid and so complicated that you need somebody that's been through it, or you need a bunch of sons and daughters to come together and start protecting one by one our elderly, start pulling them out of those homes, because they were put in those homes a lot of times because they had money. And certain legal societies find a way to get that money and say, you're too old to handle your own money. You're too old to make decisions for yourself. And you would be surprised if you visit some of these institutions and talk to some of these elderly that they were wealthy people until some of their sons and daughters conspired against them and say, oh, that's just an old, uneducated, can't think for themselves. We need his millions because we can do better with it, okay? So, you know, these kind of things happen, and we have to focus on these areas. But share with me, you listen to the show, you listen to the elders speak, you know, add your 25 cents or dollar piece.
All right.
$2 piece.
All right. Well, peace and love to the entire family always, and to the Creator. The last couple times I've been on the show, I don't know if you noticed, Brother Sharif, but I've come on after Mama. And that is so,
you know what, you are exactly
so
right. Yes. Yes. And I didn't recognize your number, and it's just happened that way like three times in a row. Wow.
Exactly.
Wow.
So, and then you got the father on the line, and I'm just so excited because everybody that since I've been listening that has called you today has been elders, and I love it. It's the elders and the babies. I love it. I love it. I love it. So I'm to all the elders, to the father and the mother that called in, thank you very much. That energy is so uplifting. Especially for me. It is very uplifting.
And listen, let me say something
positive.
Right quick, Unique, before you go in.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say something right
okay.
quick. And these are the elders that's calling in. Like, Mother be calling in on a cordless phone now. Mama still probably got one of them good cordless phones. They ain't calling in for no iPhone. And I heard the mother, she was sitting on there. She said, hold up, let me find what I'm talking about. And I can hear her typing on the computer. You understand? How many elders are able to do that? Do you understand? I heard Mama type. I heard the Windows app open up. And Mama said, hold up, let me flip up this laptop and find what I'm talking about. You hear me? So we don't have elders
yep.
that's sitting up there with the bag phones anymore. We got the elders calling in on the phones, finding these shows on the network, because we're not on mainstream media. So in order for the elders to find the sons doing what we're doing, they know in their mind that they have the technical ability to say, let me get on the computer. How are you finding high frequency
radio network. It in all fairness, it's an underground, you know, movement. So the elders mm-hmm. are out there looking. The universe have them, you know, navigating through a lot of stuff that they probably be like, well, let me look and see what the weather is like in Florida. Let me take a cruise next week. Let me go in here and visit my kids. Instead, the universe and the angels are directing them towards us here on mm-hmm. High Frequency Radio, and that's not an easy find. But go ahead.
Yeah, I like to put that energy out there because we need that guidance, and people don't, and especially the babies. They don't understand because we don't take the guidance from them. So we wonder why they don't take the guidance from us. You don't listen to your own people. People always tell their kids, do as I say, not as I do. Well, that's really hard to do because you are mother, you are father, and your child is supposed to be that example. You are not supposed to tell them one thing and do something else. How much are they going to really go ahead and listen to what you're saying? And if you're not listening to what your mother or an elder that has some sense, because some of them, very few, but some of them don't, but the ones that do have sense, you get the children to come up to them, and the elder might have something, you know, a jewel to drop on this child, and this child is not going to receive that jewel because he's been taught to not listen. Because that's what he sees. So we have to understand what the elders are, what they're here for. They are our guides. That's why I ask the Creator all the time, put them with me. I got them. I got the elders and the babies. Put them with me. I got them. I will take care of them. You send them this way. I got my big brother Yusuf. I got my big brother Sharif on here. They going to help them get out of this economic state. And I'm going to help them start eating correctly, so that when they do start getting all this wealth, because they are paying attention and because they are waking up themselves by listening to Sharif, by listening to Yusuf, what happens is now they can go ahead and they can come over my way, and they can now they're gaining wealth. Now they can start to gain some health, and this is what everybody needs to pay attention. If the elders is on board, why ain't you? That's right. What you need to ask yourself. Why aren't you? But you know what? I need to ask you because I know what the problem is. They scared. We are scared. It's come up. You said it several times. Mother said it several times. Father said it. We're scared. Period, point blank. We have been conditioned into a society where we feel that the illusion is telling us the truth, the illusion being the television. If we think that what we see on television, and you really think that everything they're putting up here for almost a month about this plane is not a pure and straight-up distraction, you have lost your mind.
That's right.
All television is a distraction to keep you from yourself. And I'm going to explain a little bit of what I'm talking about. And when I say the illusion of television, I'm saying take that illusion. For instance, you watch Grey's Anatomy. You say Grey's Anatomy. You think Grey's Anatomy is the business. And you go to the doctor's office, and you think you're supposed to hear and see exactly what they have on television. And the thing is that you do, because the writer for those shows most of the time comes from the medical community. So if you think about it, everything that they're showing you on television is almost a direct correlation of what you think is supposed to be happening at the doctor's office. But what the problem is that we have been so brainwashed and we are so in a state of terror that we still believe in the accreditation of education. We believe that since the doctor went to school for so long that he supposedly is all-knowing. He supposedly, no, he's not. What they do, I've worked in three different ERs in three different cities, and I'm going to tell you the breakdown of exactly what happened. You walk in. What's the problem? We ask you questions. We can't tell, unless you got a bone coming out of your body somewhere or something extreme, you're throwing up blood or something, we don't know what's wrong. So we have to ask you a series of questions. We have to take your vitals. We have to do all these little things that have been written down for us to do in the medical community. Understand, this is a step process. This has nothing to do with you as a person. This has nothing to do with the I am. This has to do with on a piece of paper what one doctor from anywhere from 5 years ago to 180 years ago to 200 years ago, that's what they do. They say, oh, well, ask them this, and more than likely, if they say that they have this, and this symptom, guess what? And their vitals say this, that all they're doing is putting the equation together. That is literally all they're doing. And when they put the equation together, it's not even put it together. They do a checklist, and then on the checklist, it's like, oh, okay, this is what we have to do. This is what they have, because according to the checklist and according to this little book I'm going to look into, anybody that has these symptoms has this diagnosis. And then that diagnosis in that book is going to then tell them what the treatment is. That is how the medical industry works. And like I said, treatment. Treatment. Not cure, not resolution.
Right.
Treatment.
That's right.
They have us in a state of complete illusion. Complete illusion. And it's because we sit up here and we watch TV and think that it's going to be okay, because, oh, what they're doing on TV is exactly what they do at the hospital or at the clinic or at the doctor's office. That is not how things are supposed to go. If we sit
Crystal
up here
Unique, before
and
you
these,
go before go you go further, let me announce we have 10 minutes left in the live stream.
Oh.
So if you want to continue on with the call, then you need to call in now, because the lines will not allow you to come in after the time of 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So call in. But I want to transition into another, and I'm going to bring Brother Latif on. I see he's in. I want to transition into something that you said that jogged my memory when you talk about treatment. I have a friend that is a therapist, and, you know, they are pretty good therapists, and they do therapy. So, you know, he was telling me that he just dealt therapy in a person, and he has to send them to a psychologist, for medicine, or some of the people that he treats, is on medicine. So I said, immediately, my intellect goes to, I'm solution focused. So I say, okay. So I said, well, how long do you treat people? He says, well, it all depends. And I said, okay. And I said, some of the people's on medicine. So he says, when I speak with them, I can tell when they're not on their medicine. And sometimes I ask them, did they take their medicine? And I say, okay, well, let me ask you a question. He said, yeah. I said, there's two people that you're dealing with. There's the medicated person, and then there's the person that when they're not medicated, you're saying that they're kind of disheveled. They're not rational, right? And he says, yeah, well, they need to take their meds. I said, well, when do you ever deal with the irrational side of that person? When do you deal with the real person and offer them solutions that will better the real person? Because if you provide therapy to the medicated person, what if they don't take their medication? You're kind of dealing with two people. Do you understand what I'm saying, Unique? So you're not providing a cure. You're just treating somebody, and you can treat them for the rest of their life as long as they're on medication. But you said that if they're not on their medication, that's an entirely different person, but that's who they are. Shouldn't you be dealing with the unmedicated version, or are you incompetent or not equipped enough to deal with a real person with real issues other than
they're
giving them a pill?
They're not educated enough. Okay. No, they're not
exactly.
Educated enough. That's what it is. Like I said, this is a process system, okay? If you walk in and they say, okay, you have, let's say, some mental disease. You have a depression, right? That's the big one now. You have depression. They look down and they see what's on the checklist. This is the treatment. So I don't care how good. To me, only good therapist is a person that actually, like you said, deals with the person without the medication. But they are not taught to do that. They are taught to diagnose, treat, then deal with the person. But like you said, they're not dealing with the actual person. They are dealing with someone that is medicated, that has an assortment of poisons in their system.
Yes.
From visual to health, to medication now, to environment, everything that we ingest is a poison, everything. So my point to all of everything that I'm saying is simply this. If we are ingesting poison in every sense of the word, like I just said, the very few therapists or the very few physicians are very now, just now coming out, basically changing over from being physicians into being nutritionalists. Because they are starting to see the light that, wait a minute, this medication does not work as well as the strawberry. This medication does not work as well as the red grape. This medication does not work as this, that, and the third. They have us in a state of terror to where they say, oh, well, you can buy fruits and vegetables, but they're so expensive. No, what's expensive is the meat. That's what's expensive, but that's what they tell you on the illusion square. That's what that is. That's what you automatically think. But if you were to decide to take out all that meat out of your diet and you've taken, what, $50 to $100 out of your menu, you're taking that off your menu. When you go ahead and you put some produce on there, you have a whole different situation. Because what the solution to everything of what we're talking about could simply start with agriculture. That could be our economic solution. Because as Brother Yusuf was saying before, the invisible hand. You have to create something to where you take something from them. That is the only way that you are going to come out of this fog. If you want to have vengeance or whatever, a lot of us are upset and we're angry, and that's a lot of to do with what we eat. But if you want to call yourself getting back at someone, if you want to call yourself trying to get right, you can do all of that in one fell swoop by simply not eating meat. Because what we don't realize is that at the end of the day, the meat farms and everything else, they are causing so much of other things, of methanes and bad gases and stuff like that. They're help causing this effect. There's over 60 billion cattle, 60 billion to feed the world. That doesn't make any sense. We should not be consuming that much meat, and the rest of the world is following that with us. But we have to understand that the meat industry is also the FDA. Same, they in cahoots. The FDA people that built that triangle that's telling you that you need to eat this much of this and this many servings of this and this many servings of this, those are the same people that own the doggone agriculture, that own the corn, that own the cows and stuff.
You know what I think is interesting about what you're saying, Unique, and I'm going to transition and get Brother Latif on because I appreciate your help and we need that. I find it ironic that, you know, I read about this Fukushima plant disaster over there and all that nuclear waste that's being dumped into the Atlantic Ocean or Pacific Ocean. And I have yet to hear one thing from the FDA. And I love seafood. I'm a seafood lover. I don't like to do all the meat. I will do seafood every day, salad, vegetables, things of that nature. But I haven't heard one bleep out of the FDA about what this Fukushima disaster and what's the quality of the seafood, because they say some of that stuff is already in California, some elements.
Okay,
or
no,
evidence
it's
of,
all over the world. It's all over the world.
Okay.
If you type in Fukushima, there was a whole documentary on it, but it was very low key. But it's all over. The fish are now in the entire world. Now have high radiation in them, and they know this. Fukushima has been leaking since it happened. That's over 3.5 years now, people. What do you think? Where do you think that waste is going? It's going in the water, like Sharice just said. It's going in the water. Do you really think that it's just going to be staying right around Japan? No. It's all over the world. They've already documented saying all that radiation that has been leaking is now in every single part of the ocean. Every single part.
Yeah, that tsunami that happened out in the Philippines, they say they had houses and debris, you know, washing up in California. And that was last year. So this Fukushima is dumping billions of gallons every minute of radiation. I mean, those people out there with astronaut suits on walking around there saying that the people that was working there with the suits were dying. So it's like, you know, what is our government doing? Well, I bet most of them, you know, I bet the White House is not eating, you know, any seafood, or their seafood's probably being flown from a side of the world that doesn't have that contamination. But, you know, when we talk about poison, you know, poison can come from food as well. But I'm going to bring Brother Latif on, and we're going to talk about poison in the community with regards to that, because there's a lot of you doing these processes, EFTs, A4Vs, and LMNOPs, and all that. That's poison, too.
So, you know, this is the poison that you're getting from a lot of your gurus and leaders is charging you $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 for this nonsense that y'all just really, maybe it's you're not eating good, or maybe you just don't know what a leader is, or maybe you don't know what a guru is, or maybe we're too attracted to get rich schemes. Because if you think you can go into some tubular vehicle and all of a sudden you're invisible from debt, or you can disappear your debt with some sort of an instrument that you make in your house, something is wrong with you. And you know, and this is what we have to talk about when we talk about poison. So, Sister Unique, I thank you for your contributions. I'm going to bring in Brother Latif, and we're going to talk a little bit more about these poisons that are out there. Brother Latif has been in this arena a very long time. He's a paralegal as well. He's talked about, he's had politicians on his show. He has an influx of attorneys on his show. He has a lot of oligarchs, so to speak, on the show. And he deals with a lot of adversity with respects to these systems and procedures and processes and people trying to employ the proper tactics. So, Latif, I appreciate you coming on the show. My topic was about leaders, and you're a historian, and it's about that every time we refer to people, we're always talking about the Martins, the Malcolms, the people from years ago, or we're referring to people that were hundreds and thousands of years. And it's not just in our community, in other communities, you know, they look to the founding fathers and Christopher Columbus and Mark Twain and Jefferson, Lincoln, and all of those. We're always looking so far back for direction on how to deal with things current. Why have we not been able to duplicate or clone or create our own leaders today? Why can't we look to somebody today and be like, that's a leader that took this avenue, wrote it out, we've seen remedy, we've seen success, and that's a leader. We don't have to look 20 years ago. And why are these some of these leaders that's not offering anything else new or anything else that's valuable in the sense of helping us in the fight today, or the old or some of the, I would say, the political leaders of a certain community, you know, they come out, you know, when they get that call and they say, well, let's go and march and let's take some markers, some Sharpies and write on some sheets and walk around and protest and march and give out some chicken and hamburgers and Kool-Aid and calm everything down and turn the other cheek, and they bring all the religious propaganda and they calm everybody down and, you know, prevent a riot, and then you don't see them no more. They go back to their respective, you know, mainstream media news stations and continue to hide and you know, put the hood around the people. Talk to me about that, and then you know, go into, you know, your dissertation as you please. Brother Latif, your line is open. You there? 0935. Your line must be on mute. All right, we'll come back to him. Let's go to, you've been holding a while, let's go to 202-5140. 202-5140, your high frequency radio. You have a question. All right. I guess he's been holding too long. All right. Let me try to go in order here. I had another call. Let's go to 714-4034. Turn your volume down in the background, brother.
We'll do. You hear me?
All right. Is that Matt?
Brother Sharif. No, it's Brother Will.
Brother Will, okay, what's going on, Brother Will?
Man, you right on. So many things I want to hit, but...
all right, you want to hit all of them. You wrote your notes?
Come on, no, I didn't, man, because I had to work, but I had to take a couple minutes of notes, brother. No, but, hey, for one thing, I see what you and Brother Youssef are doing, and I think that chance, that risk, it's not even a risk or nothing. Good call, Youssef. Because, I mean, the transition, man, is beautiful. You know what I mean? So Yusef has time to do the thing, and man, you're taking over the show, the reins, beautifully, brother. I'll hit on one thing to what you just got on. It's about leadership. I heard from an elder a few years ago, we're not in that age anymore to look to a Malcolm, to look to a Martin or something like that, a leader, because we got all of the stuff, you know, inside of us already. We got everything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, man, you're killing it. I love how you smash into on a lot of these meetings and stuff. But one thing I'll give Brother Taz Tariq, what he showed me, and a brother like that, was like the etymology on how to look at the history books and see myself by the corruption of calling our people different terms. And when I saw that corruption, now I said, oh, there I am. You know what I mean? So I can go over that, guide the youth, you know, hopefully, you know, and but I see myself. But I love how you're saying the right now. What are we going to do with this right now? So I just see it going positive. And another thing I wanted to interject, man, was Deimos, the demon. We're dealing with the demons inside of our, and that's just here, the principalities of the air, whatever our makeup is. It's the demon, man. That's the answer. The demon is the adversary. So it's not something like, you know, we looking at, oh, demon, this dragon-looking motherfucker or all of that shit. It's just an adversary, man. If you have love, you have, hurt or something, pain. You know, the adversary of love and lust or something like that. It's not something to run away from. You got to look at it like your mom was saying. And your mom is right on, too. Because, man, I always envision a show like the Blog Talk and all that, and somebody had a mom on. And you did it. Everything y'all saying is manifesting.
That's right, brother.
And it's manifesting, brother. You do.
And it's manifesting quickly. that's what I love about the Creator. That's why it excites me, is that I'm learning the power through the elders. Because let me tell you something. I've been powerful with the help of the priest and other people, especially the mother. Like, they put that spirit on you, and you become more emboldened. You put on another layer. You put on another Iron Man weapon, and you're just like, oh, yeah, I can do that. And you start invoking the universe and the angels, and you start communicating, and you start listening to the mother, and she says, listen, I told the gentleman on the phone, what do you need? Do you know what that did to that man? Mother was like, she was just like, look, what do you need? What do you need? I'm going to give you something right quick. I'm going to give you something. Why? Because I have that power. I know it. She's confident with that. She's not joking. She's not doing a blog talk saying, what do y'all need? I'm going to charge you $59.95. I'm going to throw a wish up to the universe, and you're going to get it. No. You know, she's like, what do you need? Because you help me, I have to help you. I have to do that. What do you need? And tell me that didn't melt the brother when an elder tells you that. I know the brother was like, well, shoot, mother, you know, me and my girl breaking up. Now help that out for me. She was like, it's fixed. And then she hangs up the phone. You understand?
Right. Hey, Sharif, one other thing, man. I put my son on to it. My son just turned 17. And we noticed something about life, and I want to encourage you as your brother to keep it going, too. And I have a client in my chair right now and / friend, says Julio, man. Much love to this brother. But, man, keep your, for lack of a better term, keep your assholeness going.
Yes.
I love it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you gotta get, I do.
Who you are, you're tired of it.
Yep.
You know, so people's impression, oh, he's an asshole. Yeah, keep it going.
Yes, sir.
Love, much love, much respect, my brother. Keep doing your
thing.
Love
you, man. Appreciate your support, brother. That means a lot. Thank you.
All
right. Peace and blessings. All right, Brother Sharif, your line is open. Are you there yet? All right.
Is this?
Oh, you got to stop going to the bathroom, man. I threw you a pass, and I got a fumble and almost lost the game.
I threw you the alley oop, and where were you, brother? Chime in. I mean, I don't think I can throw a sweeter alley oop than I did to you when we want to talk about where the leaders. Why are we always referring to the older leaders, to millions of years or hundreds of years before? Why do we look to the Sharptons and the Jessies to come out and give us some chicken and a couple of hymns and some speeches and calm us down and, you know, use up both of our cheeks when we're supposed to take decisive action in many respects? Why do we look to the people that are out there selling us these processes and procedures and falling for that banana in the tailpipe? You know, you've been in the movement. You've been in the fight for a long time. You know how to fight. You've had your knocks. You still got some wounds. You still got some scabs, and you're able to deliver a remedy to the people and tell them, listen, I spent years going down that road. Let me save you some trouble. Don't go there. So tell us what's wrong with our community, why we haven't developed any more leaders since our illustrious Malcolms and Martins and other people, and since in other races, you know, they're Christopher Columbuses, they're Lincolns, they're Jeffersons, you know, people that they esteem. You know, what is a leader? You know, why do we overlook leaders? Why is this network that works hard to put out information to the community that you'll go to college for 4 years and learn absolutely nothing, okay? But you're pay $250,000, get all kind of student loans, fill out all kind of applications and everything else, and you go to church, and you put the pastor in a helicopter and a G20, and fly him all around the country. You know, he can't even put his feet on the ground. In some religious factions, they don't even touch the ground, not the, you know, the very ground that the people walk on. They're too good for that. You know what I mean? So, you know, what is this about? And just go into your opinion and your belief and ideology on that multiplicity of topics. You have the floor, sir.
Latif Kareem. Good day, my dear brother. How you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Very powerful topic. Love this topic. First of all, I want to give the Europe kudos out to you for talking about the elders, because that's really the fundamentals since the creation of time, how leadership was established. Leadership always began with the microcosm, being the family unit. The father, the mother, the king, the patriarch, and the matriarch. And they were the natural leaders in the household. The sons and the daughters became the assistants, the warriors, the supporters, okay, to that fundamental system. What has happened over time is there's been a systemic methodology to erode family values, to destroy the family unit, the disrespect for the elders, to turn upside down, quote unquote, the youth movement over the elders, so that the youth would disrespect the elders and not listen to the age wisdom of those who've lived on the planet longer, who may have seen things happen prior and can give guidance to the youth. There's an old proverb that says, youth is often wasted on the young. Okay? Youth is often wasted on the young because youth is supposed to represent that vitality, that energy, that can-do, conquerable ability. But youth has to be matured, must be brought into insight, must be guided. And that's often what you miss, because it still needs to be guided by the leadership. Now, having said that, let's break down some of the things that have happened, because once you can tear apart the family, which has been done through slavery and oppression and genocide and all these other things that affect not just one race of people, but a whole host of nations and tribes and different groups, okay? It's a systemic way to oppress and control people, okay? And you go anywhere, you can see whether you go to Africa, the Middle East, India, China, or whatever, it was always a system brought to control the people, to disrupt the people, to take over the resources in the land, to disrupt the family units so that the conquerors could come in and rule the people. Okay? So we have to understand that this process is an age-studied process, domination. And once we take it from that standpoint, now we're enlightened to what is really going on, the forces that are going on, we're battling with. Part of the components of economics, a lot of it has to do with our social, psychological, educational system. And just as you said, not only are they going to control the family unit, they're going to control the education. Because if they can miseducate you or give you education to find the way they want you to perceive the world, okay, that is the ruling class, then they can continue to dominate you because there's something missing from your education. How is it that you can go to college and your ultimate object is to work for somebody and not be an entrepreneur to build for yourself? There's something missing in that education that you missed the point of self-reliance, independence, and your ability to stand on your own two feet. If your education, the best it does for you is to put you back in the system where they control you, to work with it, take your energy, there's something about that. Now, let's talk about what happened to black education. And I use this as an example because, you know, the Hispanic community don't really have what you call Hispanic or Latino university. But we have black institutions, traditionally black colleges, okay, that came about because the black community has specific need that through oppression and slavery and everything else, there were specific designs to not allow us to read and be educated. We were deprived of some of the fundamental rights in some parts of the country, in all parts, but in the Deep South. So when it came to educating blacks, the government funds started pouring in addition to private donors. You have the Tuskegee Institute as one of many examples. Lamar University, Southern University, Howard, on and on and on, that established these traditional black colleges. There was a degree of autonomy that these schools could teach and foster a sub-black culture to fulfill the needs of their community. As time went on, this became so powerful. You see, you had back in the, well, I guess it must have been about in the 30s, you had a black college out of Texas called Wiley University that had a debate class against Harvard, the students at Harvard, and won? Come on. This is I'm trying to show you the level of scholarship that was coming out of some of these traditional black colleges, that a small black college in Texas, and this is a historical fact, folks, they made a movie out of it and everything else, went into a debate with Harvard University and won. So what do you think that means to a ruling class of people that send their sons or daughters to Harvard, that a black college would out-debate them? They can't have that. It just can't be. You know, this is our legacy. We're supposed to be grooming the next generation of leaders. And a small black college can out-debate our boys. All right. So you can see that it would turn some heads. The ruling class is like a virus. A virus is not intending to go out of existence. A virus is intended to infect other organisms and to continue to spread and dominate and live. So the ruling class wants to continue to spread and live and regenerate its own. So in the case for Wiley University, where they're out debating Harvard, now all of a sudden, the school boards, the board of education, the board of trustees have to bring in donors from the ruling class to make sure the curriculum in the black, traditional black colleges are up to par. Does it sound like a conspiracy theory? You make your own call on that. And all of a sudden, the veracity of what's being taught in these black colleges is not as effective anymore. Same thing about in the churches, in the religious institutions. The teachings in the church and everything else had to be controlled. Now, this is not just with the black community. This is with even in the time of Yeshua, Jesus. I'm reading a beautiful book, Easter's on the Way, and I just invited people on our network to check out this book called The Zealot, Z-E-A-L-O-T. Excellent written book. If you want to be a Bible historian by reading one book, that's the book. You can get it on Amazon, okay? And for those people who have the ability to download into Kindle or something like that, they have the electronic version as well. But The Zealot is an excellent book that puts Jesus in the concept of his politically correct environment. When he was entering to the temples, when he was in existence, what was the prevailing mentality of the children of Israel at the time, the Romans, with the occupiers, okay, and how the government and the leadership was trying to control religious thought and the movement of the people. So the question the book raised is, how would that society in those days consider Yeshua, Jesus? Would they consider him a zealot, which is the same terminology today, as a terrorist, okay? Someone who is in defiance or in opposition to the status quo of the current rulership? Or would they have embraced him open arms? So the zealot makes the case of who he was, his mission, and why he himself had to distance himself from the existing rabbis, Pharisees, etc.
All right, but Brother Latif, take us into the lack of leadership and bring us to the current on the debt crisis and issue, and let's get back on.
And I'm glad you raised that point, because what we're dealing with here is that if everybody's sold out and if they're all paying homage to the government is setting the agenda. When is the last time, Brother Shirley, have you heard somebody who really protested about our elders losing their homes or a disproportionate amount of Hispanics and blacks and elders losing their homes? The only thing that's consistently comes to bear, it becomes a disgust by this government and this housing debt for crisis, is the veterans. Boy, if you touch a veteran home and foreclose on them, it's like a rapid drive will come down on you. Why? Because the veterans were made to go fight useless wars. And people know that the veterans have been out there in these unjust wars. And so at least give them a home when they come home. That's about the best empathy that you can get. But when it comes to our mothers, our grandmothers, the disabled, and all other victims, there's not the same outcry. And if we go through the churches, if we go through the churches and the civil rights leaders and everything else, everybody's silent. Occasionally there's a movement here, there's a movement there, but there's no public outrage.
And there was some, Chief, that's an interesting point you bring up, because, you know, I share it with the community on a call last week that there was a lawsuit filed by a collective of Asians, blacks, whites, against the Attorney General of, I believe, California. Might have been, no, Arizona. I'm not sure, one or the other. And they sued because all those billions of dollars they received from the banks in the settlement that supposedly should have been gone to assisting people with their home. Now, I want you to understand this, everybody. The banks settled with the prospective states for committing atrocities against your economy, both personally and collectively as a state, i.e. estate. Okay? So because of the atrocities committed against you, they settled for billions of dollars to help you deal with the bank that committed the crimes against you. And they were supposed to formulate and design programs to help you do so. Now, we at High Frequency Radio, we don't get a dime from the government. We're not sponsored by anybody. And I'm going to tell you right now, we give you more than billions of dollars in support. And we're not supported. But let's move on, okay? So they was taking that money and redistributing it to anybody they wanted to, any program they want. They were spending money. I mean, Chris Christie in New Jersey, the governor, nutty professor, he had took the money from the Sandy relief money, people that had lost their homes to natural disaster, and he spent $2 million on a commercial. I mean, this is how comfortable they are. So the state is getting money based on your injuries and taking the money and still letting you suffer, okay, and still letting you be victimized by debt collectors. And talk about that, Latif. I mean, just, you know, I can get railed up on that.
You know, you're on point. You know you're on point. And everybody on this listening to this knows that you're on point. The issue is there is a legal term and there's an accounting term called misappropriation of funds, okay? So when you get a windfall, and everybody knows that when that first investigation went out, see, let's go back. Politicians are used to us forgetting our history, even if it's recent history. In the recent history of mortgage crisis, that there was a national investigation called Interagency Report that indicted all these lenders, especially the top 14, for wholesale systemic mortgage fraud, predatory lending, robo-signing, creating false documents reports to take people out of their homes, okay? And so that they can foreclose and take properties and make money and get back-end money from the government through mortgage premium insurance and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac paybacks and all this other torts to go with it. Okay? So in that process, okay, there was a nationwide report. Tom Miller was the lead AG out of Iowa that even promised people in his campaign, somebody's going to jail. And as the report came in, and there was congressional hearing, both on the Senate and the congressional side, okay, it became very, very apparent that this was just really out of control. Now came in what you call the politics and the gerrymandering. They got to decide how much money, who's going to get what, et cetera. And the Obama administration said, listen, we're going to do 25 bill. We're going to divvy it up, okay, with no restraints or no dictation on how it's going to be spent. In other words, we're going to give it back to the Attorney General for each state and they can decide how best to use those funds. Okay? Now think of this. Even Medicare, if the United States government sends Medicare money or Medicaid money to the state, there are restrictions on service providers and who gets it and how it benefits the recipient. Here, the National Mortgage Settlement has no restrictions, none whatsoever. So it was a blank check to do whatever you want. And so now the governor, and just like you talking about Governor Christie, doing the same thing here in Georgia.
That's right.
So they took $300 million and $100 million for this and $100 million for that, and none went to the victims. None. Not even an educational program as you're talking about. They're getting more education on this show, my show, and some other things that are happening through other groups than they are from a direct fund from this windfall from an investigation that proved mortgage fraud.
Now, let me stop right there. Stop right there 1 second, because I want to jump on what you said right there. And when the topic of my show is who are true leaders, you said that these states, because of injuries sustained by the people who own the state, let's get it right, they receive billions of dollars for injuries you sustain as a person, for all of you out there. And they took that money, and they didn't even call Jesse and Al to give out some chicken and some burgers and Kool-Aid. I mean, they didn't even do that. They didn't even do a program to start having you learn about what injuries you sustain. I mean, you didn't even get an X-ray. So in other words, they worked it out with the perpetrator that they can, you can pay the state who sustained no injury, okay? And, you know, you can pay them off. And this is why I had to stop you, because this is what enrages me. Because you go out there, you know, I watch, you know, TV sometime, and I see, you know, since we're on him, Governor Christie. And I seen him roll his little tail around the street. And, I mean, I seen people hugging him and begging him to take pictures. I seen hundreds of people in the street, and they were had signs and Governor Christie, and they were just – and I look at the people – I don't even look at the politicians no more, because I know they're just like some of these false prophets and gurus around here. I be looking at the people now, and I be looking. I be like, what kind of people is walking around there gathering to see this man or hear this man talk, and he's a thief. He steals from his people. He's a bully, okay? He's a nepotism. I mean, you name it. This man took him to get back at another guy. He shut down the bridge. He rerouted the man's traffic for thousands of people that traveled, and said, "I'm gonna get you back because you wasn't down with me." So I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to mess up the traffic for your whole county or city. I mean, this is the kind of nonsense. And then when I say, where are the leaders, there's millions of people that will go to the voting machine, get up out their house, gas their cars up, put on their clothes, take a shower, hopefully, and go downtown to vote. When these politicians that say the same thing all the time, and I tell you, you know about politicians because you have a lot of them on your show. You rub elbows with a lot of them, so you know them. And he'll say one thing, you know what, I'm going to help the people of this state. And people will run the alley and be like, hey, and run down there and vote for him. And we're on high-frequency radio. We're giving you way more support than the billions of dollars these states have, and we want to talk about who are the true leaders. Like, you'll go vote for that triple burger cheese man right there that can't even keep himself healthy, and you're going to go vote for him and let him run your state based on what? And then we're asking who the leaders are, who's really helping. And Latif, my show, your show, is not government funded. We don't even – let's keep it real.
we don't even get contributions. Like if we opened up a church, we would be okay. You understand what I mean? Because we can pass around that basket four or five times, and we'll be fine, man. We'll have some nice eight-piece suits on, get some gaiters, you understand, and get us, the church will pay for us a nice house, okay, or whatever religious group. They take care of their leaders, okay, and we would be okay. So this is what bothers me when I talk about leaders. Do we know what leaders are? Do we know who they are? I deem you a leader. And I know you don't take that title and make a corsage out of it or a bow or a medallion, but you're out there giving information that these wealthy states should be doing. But it proves to everyone that they don't want you to know what we're giving you, and they're definitely not going to fund it, okay? And at all points and at every turn, they're going to try to stop the information from getting out, and then they're scared when you show up and you know the information, and they look at you like, well, how did you know that? It was in a book, Revelations 1 and 3, blessed are those that read it. It's in a, like, dude, I know for a long time y'all thought the books were hidden, but, man, we got the internet, we got libraries, we got library cards. We're reading now, my man. Y'all in trouble. You understand? We'll talk about that before I go back to the caller line and take a few minutes because we only have 26 minutes left. But tell me about that, and what's your perspective or comment on that?
Well, it's very simple. Leadership is hijacked. Even the definition of leadership is hijacked. Okay, and that's what I was trying to start off saying, that we have forgot what fundamental leadership is, and we forgot who are supposed to be representing our interests. And they have taken, like the lady said a few moments ago, TV, and projected who our leaders are supposed to be, and we're supposed to buy into it, okay? As opposed, there's no substance there. It's all propped up, okay? It doesn't really relate to us. It relates to their agenda, what they're pushing, okay? That's why you can have people like Jesse Ventura, who was once a governor in Minnesota, completely go against the system. So guess what? They don't want to talk to him anymore.
That's right.
Okay.
And he had a good show, and they shut that show down. Jesse Ventura used to be going in. You understand me? He was. I thought they was gonna get him. Jesse Ventura is putting out that raw. I said, man, they gonna get him. They didn't touch him, but they shut him down because you know Mitt Romney and what's the other rich man? Again with a B, I forget his name. They got together because they own the national media, and they said, "Listen, he has to go." Okay, he has to go.
So the concept of leadership is really your leaders are the reluctant leaders, the ones who reluctantly get out there and do things. For example, I know that all this time that you're devoting, like you're saying, you're alluding to, is free, and you're not charging one person to get on this call. To listen.
That's right.
To get informed. And the same with my show, okay? Because there's a need. And if we didn't have internet alternative media, mainline media is not going to bring information like this. This is not newsworthy enough. Their boardroom wouldn't sit back and say, we need to run a program like this and be more grassroots oriented so that we can wake up the people. Then, no. They want the people to be asleep at the wheel. So, folks, simple solution. You go get your pastors, your leaders, you tell them to chime in on this show and ask them, do they receive any benefit? Can they support a show like High Frequency Radio? Okay? Can they see any usefulness coming out of it? And can they incorporate some of the things that we talk about to educate their... That's where it fundamentally begins. And that's why I've exposed various different groups, politicians and everything, to my audience, okay? Because I want the audience to hear a different side of the story. As you know, they always say there's at least three sides to the story, your side, my side, and God knows all, okay? So that's what we want to do in terms of that. But reluctant leaders are your leaders, the ones who feel a moral duty.
Yes.
And if nobody else is going to do it, something has to be done. That's your true leader, okay? And I don't wear the title of being a leader. I just do what I have to do. If one thing
That's right.
was once told to me, that if you do your duty towards God, he will protect your rights. If you do your duty towards God, he will protect your rights. So we talk about spirituality.
That he has done, my brother. That he has done. Yes.
It's a calling to do your duty to God and mankind and humanity. Guess what? You'll see the benefits of that being reaped because God will protect your rights. I want to thank you very much for being on the show today, bro. And also, you know, you talk about reverse mortgage. You and I said that we're going to do a little collaboration for the folks. We've got some very, very dynamic news about reverse mortgage and how it's going to help out the elders to stay in their homes, to allow them to live in their homes until the day they call back.
I'm going to interrupt you for a minute because I'm going to demonstrate something to you right here on High Frequency Radio Network. I'm going to demonstrate to you the power of the elders, the power of the universe. My mother that's on this call, okay, the first question she ever asked me weeks ago before I claimed her as mother was, what, mother? Tell me about this reverse mortgage crisis. And I remember her question, and I wrote her number down weeks ago. And I said, I'm going to get back to you, Mother, because I need to study up on those because I know that is one of the instruments that's used against our elderly to take them out of their homes. And she called back again the following week or 2 weeks after that. And I remember her voice because the Creator has blessed me with good memory. And I said, Mother, I remember you. You asked me about reverse mortgages. And anytime I say I'm going to do something, I might be delayed, but you will not be denied if I tell you I'm going to do something. So I said, Mother, I got to get back to you. I'm sorry, on reverse mortgages. So the mother said, yes, son, you need to look into that because she's an elderly person. Mother's almost 70 years old. She don't sound like it. But she says, She says, I don't have that issue, son. I don't have that issue. I know that's an issue that a lot of my friends and relatives have. And the universe was telling me you need to speak about this or inform the sons because the mothers and the fathers probably don't have the wherewithal to accumulate enough knowledge to defend themselves against that. So here you go on High Frequency Radio right now, coming in with a program about reverse mortgages and that you have somebody that knows enough about it that can benefit the elderly or benefit the sons that protect the elderly. And I just don't the amount of revelations that's happened on this show is just – it just – and I'm talking about on the show and outside of the show in my personal life. The amount of revelations has just been unbelievable that my knees is worn from just thanking the Creator for everything that he's doing and pulling together and how he's working. So go ahead, brother.
Yeah, well, and you're right. So it's going to begin with education and all that you were afraid to ask and wanted to know about reverse mortgages, we're going to take it on tomorrow, okay? I'll get with you after the show. Brother Sharif, so that your guests will be ready. I'll also tell you, I have personally litigated, or in the process of litigating, reverse mortgages torts. So this is not something that I'm talking about from a theoretical basis. It's something that I'm proactively involved. And I will give more details of some of the cases that I've been involved in that completely stopped a foreclosure on a reverse mortgage and was able to hand over to the heirs and reduce the debt down to $12,000 so they could preserve that property in the estate for the family legacy to continue.
Let me tell you something, Latif. I'm sorry. I gotta bring in my mother because I'm just telling you, you've been on my call, and I think anybody that shows up on this call, And anybody that supports, such as you, invited guests, people that are on this panel, and contribute to this call, and once they touch the soil of this call, things happen. Because, Latif, you didn't know nothing about the reverse mortgage situation that the mother breathed into the show. Like, she only told me once. And what she was telling me, and she doesn't have to tell me twice. She doesn't have to raise her voice. She asked one question, and that question came from the universe to say, Sharif, you want to help the elders? This particular arena is directly related to the elderly because those are the programs they offer the elderly. And here you show up on the call today and say, I'm in this in helping give the homes back to the elderly because you touched this call, Latif, and then your life was manifested this need to help the elderly, and that is no coincidence. I'm sorry. Let me open up the line and bring in the mother for a minute. I want to get two more calls in, but I got to get my mother to comment on what you're doing, Latif, which is an area that I didn't, you know, venture into. But, you know, the mother kind of, you know, brought it up, and here we go. And you're talking about it. So, Latif, give me 10 more seconds because my mother's line is taking a minute to open up. But give me 10 more seconds. We're going to do the show tomorrow. We're going to have the gentleman on. And you've been involved in some protracted battles with reverse mortgage. Not only were you involved, you were successful. Shalom, mother.
Yes. Yes.
Do you see what just happened? Again?
I see. I see. Because, see, when – what's the brother's name again?
Latif, Brother Latif.
Latif. Welcome, Brother Latif. Enjoying your words that you gave forth. See, when you speak that, when the Creator gives you something to say, you have to speak it because it's going to come to pass. And when it does, it be now. The people who need that information will be able to receive it and have a better understanding, and they can receive help. And that's what I do. I say things, and the next thing I realize that it's happening. Why? Because when you hear from the Creator, you speak what He says. You don't be afraid of the people. You trust in Him, and you let your words go, and it accomplishes what it's sent to do. And the Creator have the man, the warriors out there to have it to bring it to pass. And that's what we have to do when we speak. Don't just speak idle words. Speak words that's going to create, that's going to benefit, that's going to give people the increase. And that's what we do on High Frequency Radio. And we do, and when I say High Frequency Radio, all who are connect with the Creator be high frequency. Because you can't get
listen,
it on
mother,
low frequency.
Listen, mother, yes. you brought in one of the gladiators and warriors in Brother Latif, because Latif can go up. Latif can run for office tomorrow.
Yes.
I mean, he's meeting with all of the – I mean, Latif be having, you know, the caviar and you know, and the monkey knuckles and the marinated chicken heads and whatnot. He be eating with the best of them. Do you understand?
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, he could have went any direction, but the mother planted the seed and said, as an
yes.
elder – this is
yes.
a problem, and Latif didn't know that you made that comment. He wasn't on the show probably that day, and here's Latif is saying that he's already done some protracted battling and was successful at giving, listen to what he said, the estate back to the heirs. Do you,
yes.
Now, for all of you that have that, you know, spiritual and esoterical knowledge, when you start talking about giving estates back to the heirs, then that should kind of, you know, turn your switch on, all right, so to speak, and understand that that energy that the mother laid out is coming not a year, not 2-5 years later, because we always think that we plant and it's going to take forever,
mm-mm.
you know. Yeah, no, mother's teaching
it comes
us
down.
That it's immediate.
It comes down. Yes.
Yeah, that's called God.
Yes.
Godspeed. That's
yes.
right.
Yes.
So you got one of the best sons
Godspeed.
Out there.
Yes.
You got one of the best sons out there because Latif
mm-hmm.
knows how to battle. He knows how to war. Okay, and you give him something and you put it in black and white, in English or in two other languages.
He's going to figure it out. He's a scientist. He's going to figure it out. And he's already and when he chases some blood in the water, he might sound passive, but he turns to a shark. You understand?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And I think he'll drill a hole in it. He's going to be like, look, I got this. This is my deposit to the community, giving the heirs, making the mothers comfortable on the last stretch of their journey. And that's a blessing.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Told
our God to the creator. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm
going
to go back to the caller's line. That's right. Brother Latif, thank you. I'll see you tomorrow. And I'm going to try to get these two quick questions in. We got like 10 minutes left. And I will definitely see you tomorrow. And I'll make a couple announcements and we're going to move forward. So appreciate you.
All right. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. All right. Let's go to, man, I'm having a problem with my computer here. I'm having some technical difficulties here. All right. Let's go to 323-4710. 323-4710. You're on High Frequency Radio. Do you have a quick comment or question? 323-4710. All right. My board is locking up here. Having some technical difficulties. Let me go into announcements for tomorrow. Tomorrow, put it on your calendar. On my show, the Debt Ministry Show, tomorrow, Tuesday, April 1st. And this is not an April Fool's. You need to tune in 11 o'clock. I have some major announcements to make tomorrow. You want to be well-informed, have some great news and information coming out that's going to help in this debt arena, some information that will almost instantaneously apply economic uplifting to your life. Y'all know I don't BS. I don't have five-year plans when dealing with y'all. I believe you should get relief and get it as quickly as possible. So you need to tune in tomorrow for a couple of announcements that's going to help you tremendously for those of you being oppressed by illegitimate debt collectors. All right? I don't care what type of debt collection it is. You need to be in attendance tomorrow. For those of you who need the email contact list, after that show tomorrow, you're going to understand you need to be on that contact list. DebtShow@Yahoo.com. DebtShow@Yahoo.com. Get on that mailing list. But definitely be in attendance tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You want the information that's going to be delivered. You want to be able to obtain one of those seeds that will grow economically in your life. We're not playing here, right? I don't have time to play because I'm a New Yorker, so I move fast. I don't like to be spending a whole lot of time on a whole lot of nonsense. I try to bring it and then move on to something else. You know, when I move decisively in everything that I do. I don't care if I'm going to the bathroom. People say, where you going? Are you just going to the bathroom? Why are you moving like that? I just move like that. All right? So we're going to bring some good information to the family. Show up tomorrow. I apologize to the last two callers that are in the queue, but, you know, my board is acting up. I'm not able to open up your lines for some reason. So I definitely apologize. But tomorrow, 11 o'clock, the Debt Ministry, the Debt Show, you're going to get some information that's going to be economically rewarding, and we hope to see you in attendance tomorrow. Youssef will be back, God's will, on Wednesday, I believe. He's a little bit under the weather. He's fine. He's probably listening in, a little bit under the weather, purging his body, getting rid of some of those toxins, and you know, he did some traveling, and often I get sick with traveling when your body is decompressing. So, you know, he'll be fine. He's rejuvenating now, and he'll be back strong as ever. He's been, you know, he's missed a few shows, but, you know, I'm sure he's going to be charged up when he get back. Looking forward to it. For now,
we're just going to go and cut it off. Maybe the information was too strong. But, you know, my board is kind of frozen here. So we're going to close out. See you tomorrow. God bless. Thank you to mothers, the fathers. Thank you for everybody that showed up. Brother Latif, all the callers, all the listeners, thanks for coming in. Support us in your prayers, in your thoughts, in your doings. You use any of the information and it uplifts you, call in. Make a positive deposit spiritually into this network. If you don't have the economic ability, you have no excuses with my debt ministry show. You have no excuses, which is why I just don't take the sympathetic, empathetic route and have people call in and, you know, claim that, you know, the debt collectors is beating the nonsense out of you. You can listen to two or three shows and come up out of that, and you've heard the testimonials. People are coming up out of that fear in everything. So no excuses. We're giving you what you need. Hopefully you're applying it. And right now, we're just going to sign off.